What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blindside Blitz. I am Jim McPhee, and of course, alongside me is Mr. Joe DiCapita.
What's going on, Blitz Nation? Welcome back again. You are here for your latest dose of NFL info, and we're here to bring it to you. Not only just us, but our friends at Grumblings Media. Head over to grumblingsmedia.com. You can check out the latest and greatest political, entertainment, and sports podcasts available. That's right, one-stop shop. Just go there, take a look at what you like there, head over to YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button, hit the thumbs up, hit the share button, share it to all your family and friends. That's what it's all about, Jim.
Winners
it's,
don't use
sharing trust. Is caring. We're here to share info with you guys NFL-wise and can't wait to dive into it. You can also follow on rumble.com as well as anywhere you get podcasts, yeah. Apple, Google, Spotify, Joe. And Pandora.
It's week one, man. It's here. Finally.
Finally.
It has finally come upon us here,
it's
Joe.
It's finally here.
It is great, but it is also sad because summer is over. You know, kids are going back
okay.
to school and all that stuff, but the NFL season is here. And my birthday's on Sunday, so I got a lot of games to watch on my birthday. It's going to be pretty crazy.
Or you'll be busy doing housework.
Or, yeah, I'll be just very busy doing other stuff, yeah. But it would be very interesting, though. It would be a lot of fun. Can't wait. There's a lot of different matchups, a lot of exciting matchups that they have lined up here. I know the guys who set the schedule together worked real hard and might have a lot of good matchups here moving forward. So it's going to be fun to look at. So right now, some of the news is still that's captivating. We're just going to go through a lot of different things. We have a really action-packed show for you guys tonight. We're going to have a lot of fun. But let's just cover it as quick. The Ja'Marr Chase thing again now. He's still got his hold-in going, you know, showing up to practice still, but, you know, not dressed in uniform and all that stuff, and people still having a big issue with this.
I don't know why.
Which is funny because that's where I wanted to bring it up because I know we don't really have an issue with this, so we're not going to be on this for a very long time. But I think it's funny that I was even listening to Sirius XM today in the NFL channel there, and they're even debating this whole thing and saying, you know, this is crazy, debating the leverage that, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, that he doesn't have any because, again, he's got a few more years on his deal still, so what's the deal? And then the Bengals, we talked about this with some guests that we've had on too, Tyler. Mm-hmm. About, you know, the Bengals don't exactly like to pay either and things like that. But first of all, I'll get your take on it, and then I'll tell you what I think about this. You know, but the Ja'Marr Chase thing, it's going to come to a close pretty soon, right?
100%. Like, I don't know why people are getting so upset over this. Like, I understand Bengals fans out there, they're just pissed because he's not in uniform. He's not practicing with the team.
Right.
And the uncertainty, right? It's mostly the uncertainty of, is he going to play week one or not? Like, is he going to hold out into the season? You know? And I'll tell you this right now. The word that we're hearing out of Cincinnati is that it's very close.
It's very close.
It's not like it's far apart right. and they're still kind of hammering out numbers and clauses and what have you, but it's close. Like the deal's going to get done. It's going to get done before week one, before it even gets here. Like I understand the clock is ticking. We're now in the week leading up to kickoff for the Bengals, but I got to believe that I can't see it any other way. Like the deal is going to get done. And let's just say worst case scenario, it doesn't get done. I think Ja'Marr Chase is still going to play. Like, I think this whole holding in, whatever you want to call it, he wasn't showing up to the facility for quite some time. So it was a holdout. Mm-hmm. And then lately in the last roughly 4 days or so, now he's reporting to the facilities. Now he's showing up because in preparation of whenever the deal does get agreed to, he's just there to sign. And then let's play ball. So Bengals fans, fantasy football fans that drafted Ja'Marr Chase, calm down. Like, it's going to be fine. He's going to play this season, and he's going to help the Bengals get to where they end up. Like, let's just stop worrying about it. Because, listen, the Niner fans, they were the other fan base that was up in a roar. I'm like, oh, is Ayuk going to come? Are we going to trade him away? Like, what's going to happen with Debo? What's going to happen with Trent Williams? Is he going to show up? Look what just happened in the past couple of days. Trent Williams gets a new deal. Boom. He's coming up. He's heading to the facility, right? Brandon Ayuk deal got done. They weren't going to let him leave. They weren't going to trade him. John Lynch himself said over and over and over to reporters, no, we're not trading him. You're out of your mind. So they locked up all those players that fan bases or the Niners fans were worried about. And see what happened? Yes. Is it closer than you'd like it to be? Sure. But this Ja'Marr Chase thing, it's going to get ironed out. It's going to get done. And then you have the Jets situation with Hassan Reddick. And people are worried about that. That's what you should be worried about. Mm-hmm. Because Hassan Reddick, it doesn't seem like they are close at all to, you know, ironing out whatever this is. Mm-hmm. Like, he's under contract, but now he wants more money. And it seems like he may be the only big name player that's going to hold out as we get to week one kickoff. And who knows? Maybe right the day before kickoff, maybe Saturday, they finally get that deal done too between the Jets and him. So, yes, Ja'Marr Chase, guys, let's just calm down. It'll get done.
Yeah, Ian Rappaport has been saying this. That's why I think it's funny because he's like the NFL insider, right? And the fact that the NFL
– him and Schefter,
I know, but mainly Schefter's like ESPN, like the NFL's guy is like Ian Rappaport. It's funny that they, you know, on their radio station that they weren't sure what was going on when the whole time he's tweeting stuff like, hey, they're close on the thing, and it's potentially he could be the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
I had seen different scenarios that showed him getting highest average per year. And then also mm-hmm. highest bonus money, but not the biggest contract, you know, guaranteed.
What's going to end up happening is Ja'Marr Chase, because this is him and Justin Jefferson were homies.
Yeah.
They both went to LSU. So all Chase said that he wanted was a penny more, just a penny more, just to say that I got a bigger contract than you. It's one of those things between friends. So let's see. We'll wait and see if that happens. I think it's going to happen. Like, you can't be that upset. If you're an NFL fan, you can't be that upset if, in fact, the Bengals give him and just edge out Justin Jefferson's contract, because they're both great players. Now, yeah, you can argue and debate who you think is the best, but they're both great players. They're both elite talents. So we'll see how it all shakes out, but he's going to be there week one.
Yeah, he's going to be there. Everybody keep your pants on. There's a few more days here, you know what I mean? So they got time before it shows up. And they're only playing the Patriots or anything like that too, so it's going to be crazy. Like,
they should start their backup quarterback just like the Patriots did.
Yeah. Oh, I know. We'll get to that in just a little bit. All right, next up on the docket, we've got this thing we decided to look at. Mm-hmm. And let's take a look at some quarterbacks here, now that you even brought up Ian Jacoby Brissett or somebody.
That's right.
That are now going to be in the starting spot here that have the most to prove. What quarterbacks are out there that have the most to prove this year? It's not even like on a prove-it deal, mm-hmm. but I think really need to show something to keep themselves either in the league or, you know,
starter?
Yeah, or become a starter and get something there. Right. I think one obvious one is Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, 36 years old, named the starter there in Pittsburgh. Still only on this 1 year deal now here with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So he's looking to just extend his career now, show you that it wasn't just a fluke of what he did last year, even though a lot of people still dogging him, saying, you know, this is, you know, having no faith at all. I was listening, to SiriusXM today.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. You get two different scenarios. You get people who were, you know, they think, you know, Russell Wilson can do something where they saw what he did last year.
Team Wilson, and then you got the
Then you got the ones that are like, no, he's just not going to do anything. This is a pipe dream. Move on, you know. But in the argument against it, I think, is what has Justin Fields really shown either? You know what I mean? In his career. Right. He's had really ups and downs too. So if the Pittsburgh Steelers are looking to win now, which Mike Tomlin, I think, really has to look that way and say, hey, I need to win now still because, you know, I want to remain the head coach here and I'm doing whatever it takes to get you know, my team to win.
Right.
You know, so I think Russell Wilson gives them the best option.
Yeah, I agree. And this is something that we've said from day one. When Russell Wilson signed and then they traded for Justin Fields shortly after, everyone's like, oh, well, legitimate quarterback, you know, showdown. Like, no, Russell Wilson was never going to sign with the Steelers if they said, hey, we'd like for you to be our quarterback, but we're also going to trade for Justin and you guys can duke it out. No, he would have never signed with Pittsburgh if that was the case. So, of course, he was told, hey, Russ, you're the starter. We're going to still trade for Justin Fields. We're going to say it's a quarterback competition, but you're our guy. Like, that's really the conversation that was had. Otherwise, why would Russell Wilson risk not being the starter and sitting out a year or maybe even having to ask for a trade because it didn't work out for him? So, of course, he wanted to cement that. He got the starting job. Now he, just like you said, Jim, like now he has to prove like, hey, I understand it was a different offense in Denver, different personnel, all that kind of jazz. But you did good, kid. You did good, Wilson. You mm-hmm. did good. Now mm-hmm. just show people that it's not just a one and done year. Now show that you are consistent still, you know, in your career. You can still get the job done. So and he only signed a one-year deal, so that actually will if he has a good year, doesn't have to have a great year, but if he has another good year, that shows other teams that are quarterback needy, they might be lining up in free agency for his services.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly, and that's then, where you extend your career either way if it's not with
right.
Pittsburgh.
And it doesn't stop there because then if Pittsburgh sees that and like, what do we do? Do we re-sign Fields and make him our starter now? Or because Russ had such a good year, do we lock him up and then let's just see what we can get for Fields in the trade? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So mm-hmm. like there's a couple different scenarios that could shake out, but that's I agree with you. That's definitely one of the quarterbacks. Not necessarily he doesn't have to prove something. It's just that he has to prove consistency really for this upcoming year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and another one for me is mm-hmm. got to be another obvious one, Daniel Jones. Daniel yeah. Jones right there.
Right.
And what's funny is Daniel Jones is easy to dog, I think, too. Because
I know we don't,
yeah. But if you look at even records, what last year, they were 1-5, which is terrible, but he only was able to start in 6 games. So he had a really putrid year last year, but banged up, really offensive line, not doing very well. We've seen that Evan Neal is not the guy, you know, at right tackle. So he had only 2 touchdowns and 6 turnovers last year, but look the year before, 15 touchdowns to 5 ratio, 67%, still 3,200 yards, which isn't bad, I think. And then the year prior, just, you know, 10 touchdowns to 7 picks, and then you're finally getting back to where he was putting up some better numbers like he was his first season. So you're just hoping that he could stay healthy. So he only had really 1 full season healthy, and that was a year ago before last year, so 2 years ago in 2022. So his main thing is really, one, stay healthy. 2, just get back to doing what you're doing. You know what I mean? You know, get the ball out there. Rely on, you know, your running game a little bit. I mean, but kind of settle in on this offense. And I think the fact that Brian Daboll has taken over the playing calling duties,
thank God,
I think only helps Daniel Jones
thank
moving
God.
Forward.
Yeah, that's when
Mike
he
Kafka's
was successful.
Offense was not good at all, and like I said, it was concentrated on the deep ball way too much and not enough underneath guys when you kind of had those types of guys underneath that can get you that yak.
Yeah, and it's funny that you mention that. Matt Kafka, like what are you thinking when you didn't have receivers, when you didn't have an offensive line to protect Daniel Jones, but you're
you
still attacking down the
yes.
field?
Yeah.
Like you don't have time for him to sit in the pocket and throw the ball accurately because he's already running for his life. Mm-hmm. Like that right there just goes to show you like he was much like the Saints' old offensive coordinator. Like just absolutely terrible in game situations, poor decision making mm-hmm. in terms of plays. And we'll just throw him in there with Josh McDaniels too. Why not? But yeah, I agree with you. Like here's the thing with Daniel Jones is, does he make bonehead mistakes still? Yes. It's a given. And that's something that has to change. Otherwise, he will be gone mm-hmm. because He definitely has talent. It's, you can see it from time to time and time again. Once in a while, you see an accurate throw being made, like right on point. You know what I mean? Where he steps into a throw, he just kind of has that nice release, and he does throw a nice ball.
Yeah.
And then he can connect and throw into these tight windows at times.
Yes.
And you're like, that's the guy that we've been waiting for. And then the very next play, he'll start to feel pressure. He'll escape the pressure and then go to throw a ball, and he throws it to the linebacker for a pick. And right. It baffles you. So Daniel Jones has to be more consistent this year. And thank God that the Giants put a lot of emphasis on shoring up that offensive line this offseason and getting him a legit weapon, at least one. Malik Nabers is the real deal. I don't think you have to wait to title him and say, oh, well, let's wait and see, he's a rookie. No, this rookie is one of the best. In the last 5 years of wide receivers, this dude is going to be right up there. So I can't wait to see the Nabers and Jones show, because it's coming. And we've had people on the show before telling us, don't sleep on the Giants this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, you might be able to poke fun about them with their offensive line like Swiss cheese and Daniel Jones and his terrible decision-making, but it seems like this offseason they're getting back to the Giant way. They're getting back to big blue football. And I can't wait to see with Brian Daboll calling the plays finally, because that's the last time Daniel Jones was successful as a quarterback. Finally, he's calling the plays. They shored up that offensive line and got him a couple weapons. Now let's put it together on the football field and see what Daniel Jones can do. Because honestly, this is make or break year for Daniel Jones. He's had a lot of opportunity. And yes, you're right, Jim. Yes, it wasn't glamorous. He didn't have a really good offensive line pretty much his whole career. Receivers were lackluster.
Offenses, too, he's had to learn.
Right. I mean, that's a lot of quarterbacks, too. Yes. But but my thing is now you have the ingredients for this recipe for the upcoming season. Let's see if he can cook.
Yep, absolutely. And then, you know, the guaranteed money has been paid too to him. So, I mean, there's going to be a cap hit if they do cut him pre-June 1st.
I don't think they'll cut him.
But, I mean, might as well keep him on there too, just to have him in the back.
If they do, it'll be after June.
Yes.
It'll be a post-June 1st cut, and they'll be good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But again, with the pressure, and he has the most to show too, I mean, he's hearing the fact, you know, we saw it on the Hard Knocks that, you know, the Giants did look at, you know, Drake May. You know what I mean? They were really considering
trying to get Drake May.
So, I mean, knowing that, you know, they didn't want, you know, you at that point during the draft, you know, that shows you something. And that kind of gives you that chip that sometimes these guys need.
Prove it to us. Mm-hmm. Prove it to us. Listen, if the Giants could pull that trade off to move up a couple spots to get Drake May, they would have. Mm-hmm. We all know that's a fact. That wasn't just a rumor. That was a fact. And now, because they couldn't, they're like, we're going to rock with Daniel Jones and make the best of it. Because I'll tell you right now, if they even got Drake May, it would have been a legit quarterback competition. Mm-hmm. And you never know how those things will shake out. So Daniel Jones, now that he's seen that the Giants are fully prepared to move on from him, if he doesn't, you know, show up and play quarterback to the level that they need him to play, this could be his last year as a Giant.
Yeah, absolutely. One other guy I was thinking too, just because of the situation that he's in and the team that he's on, you know, and that's going to be the Minnesota Vikings and Sam Darnold. Okay. Sam Darnold, again, not too many starts consistently with, you know, the teams that he's been on, but he's been on a lot of bad teams. So overall, his stats aren't the best, you know, but he's been moved around, like I said, on really bad teams. So he has
bad
the opportunity
situations.
To be the starter now for the Minnesota Vikings with J.J. McCarthy out, you know, for the season. So now he's guaranteed the spot. So it's time for him to shine again. So he's on a very minimal deal here with the Vikings. So just like with Baker Mayfield with the Rams and the Bucks last year, really. an opportunity to show that what he can do, and shown that maybe he's turned the page a little bit, you know, eliminated some of those mistakes that he had, the turnovers that were costly. And it's a pretty good team to be behind here too. So, I mean, with the head coach too, I mean, you're in a great situation for Sam Darnold. So you could see potentially a revamping of Sam Darnold, much like you saw kind of with Geno Smith with the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, and this is one of my favorite, like, comeback player of the year. Like, I think he's one of my favorites this year. I think he's going to get it done, and he's going to surprise a lot of people. This is why Minnesota, when they signed him, Kevin O'Connell and his offense, Kevin O'Connell basically said, this quarterback fits my offense extremely well. Now we just got to get him to learn the playbook. He goes, I've seen his arm. I've seen his accuracy. I've seen how he can handle himself in the pocket. He's pretty poised. And he goes, that's all we need for this offense to work. And when you have Aaron Jones in the backfield, that helps. When you have Justin Jefferson to throw the ball to, when you have Jordan Addison to throw the ball to, like, you're in good hands with those weapons. Right. Like, so, and their offensive line is actually pretty solid. Some people were kind of picking on them last season, but they're pretty solid. So Sam Darnold, for the first time, I think this is the best team he's ever going to start for. You look at back when he was with the Jets originally, that Jets team was not built to win at all. Mm-hmm. Their offensive line was terrible. Their receiving weapons weren't the greatest. You know, they had Corey Davis back then in the day, and like Michael Carter as a running back. Like, nothing really flashy, nothing really, you know, potential that could grow into something. And then what did the Jets do after 3 years? It's your fault, Sam. You didn't play well enough. It's all you. It's not everybody around you. It's just you. You're the problem. Get rid of him. He goes to Carolina for a couple years. And I'm going to be honest. There was 1 year where they were 5-0 in the beginning of the season. Like, they were killing it with Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. And then he came down with an injury. Ended his season. Then he goes to free agency. After a couple years, finds his way to San Fran. Ends up being a backup with the 49ers. And I thought that was an excellent signing by the Niners. If anything was to happen to Brock Purdy, Darnold comes in. I think Darnold would have done an adequate job. I'm not saying he would have done a better job than Purdy at all, but he would have done an adequate job, just enough. Now he finds himself in Minnesota. And I'll tell you right now, finally, he not only has a team around him that's legit, but also he has a coaching staff that truly does believe in him. They believe in him. They have all the confidence in the world with him. And I think that's something that was missing his whole career whenever he started for a team. So now he finally has that part. He has the support. He has the weapons now. He has a decent offense around him. I'm excited to see what Sam Darnold could do this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Absolutely. I mean, it'd be interesting to see here with Minnesota what happens altogether, because
I know, right?
Last year, I mean, they were just banged up a lot. So
and they still were competitive.
I would like to see what they do this season. Do you have anybody else in mind on your end?
I got a few guys.
What do you
got? I got a few guys. Bryce Young from Carolina. We just talked about the Carolina team.
Yeah.
Might as well stick with that. Bryce Young needs to prove to me, because I'm going to be honest with y'all. I was not the biggest fan of Bryce Young when he came out in the draft. I wasn't at all. I didn't think, even though the hype was all there, everybody said he was a slam dunk, safe pick. You take him, you don't have to worry about quarterback for the next 10 years. I didn't buy it. I thought he was too short in stature, which that shouldn't matter, but it does at the NFL level. When you got freaking 6'9 offensive linemen, you got to be able to see your targets. You got to be able to make the throws. Not only that, but Bryce Young, in his slender frame, I was worried about him getting injured, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. And he got hit a lot last year. Mm-hmm. He was one of the most hit quarterbacks last season. It was insane. And his offensive line didn't help. They played poorly, too, last year. So I think Bryce Young, for me, I'm not expecting him. I just need to see some kind of progression. I need to see something to where that gives me confidence. If you're a Panthers fan out there, or even the coaching staff or the front office, they got to see something from you. You got to show some kind of level of consistency. You got to show something that this is the reason why you drafted me, because I can make things happen. Because if we don't see that, much like Daniel Jones, I know Bryce Young's only been there, you know, for a year.
Season, yeah.
So, And it's kind of like a knee-jerk reaction in a sense. But, dude, I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything why you drafted him the first quarterback. You know, what was the reason? Well, I didn't see anything. I saw him running around. I saw him making poor decisions, turning the ball over. All negative stuff that you don't want your starting quarterback to do. So,
yeah,
Bryce Young, I need to see more from you this season.
Right, Joe. And you and I have talked about this extensively, even about Alabama quarterbacks coming out and things like that, and not really having a lot of success.
Success, I got you.
Such a hard word to say, Joe. You never know. Yeah. But having so much trouble with success in the NFL, mm-hmm. and right now, at least at this point, Tua's got to be the outlier. You know, out of them all. You know what I mean? Which mm-hmm. a lot of people are, again, still skeptical, thinking that it's kind of smoke and mirrors right now with Tua. Somebody we had on the show,
so
I think in the comments last week, had said something about it.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, and this is what we kind of seen in the Nick Saban's offenses. You know, they're like the old type of smash-mouth football stuff, but the quarterbacks haven't really panned out when it comes down to the NFL. And Bryce Young, like you said, undersized, things like that, it does make a difference. And what you really want to do is eliminate the turnovers, because that's what the thing is.
Yeah.
We lost the turnover game very poorly last season. He had 11 touchdowns and 10 interceptions, only throwing 59% too. Altogether, though, we looked at that team. It was just a bad team, though, too, because we also talked about what changes were they making to make the team better. And I think they did on the interior side, but again, what weapons? You didn't really have a lot of weapons and things like that. So they look to try and do that this season to try and help him out. Mm-hmm. But like you said, when you're picked that early and things, and you're expected to
high
do
high expectations.
A lot, exactly. That puts the pressure on you, and you need that pressure there to perform. So I agree with you, too. With this one, Bryce Young, I think he has to show something.
Right. I know it's early, like for Bryce Young, because he's only had 1 year.
He's not,
I get it.
On the contract
but,
here.
Man, for being picked that high, and there wasn't too many highlights, you know, we'll just leave it at that.
Right. Definitely.
Yeah. So do you have any more? I got a couple more.
Go ahead. Do a couple, and then I've got one that might be a little questionable, but I think some people are thinking it.
Okay. So Derek Carr for me.
Yeah.
I'm not blaming him.
Right.
But I know the Saints fandom is. I know that they're coming down hard on Derek Carr.
The time is ticking.
And honestly, after watching last season mm-hmm. and how poor the offensive play calling was and Derek Carr was getting frustrated with some of the receivers. Chris Olave was one of them, where they just weren't running their routes. They were half-ass running, and they weren't finishing the routes because he would throw it up for him to get a chance to catch it and run. And he stopped running, and then the ball goes sailing over his head, and everyone's like, oh, he overthrew him. No, the dude stopped running this route. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, here's the thing. Is like, I do believe in Derek Carr. I think he is and can be. Like he isn't right now, but he can be a top 10 quarterback in this league. We've seen evidence of it in the past with the Raiders, where there really wasn't much there, and he still carried the team on his back to the playoffs when he only had Hunter Renfrow as a receiver really that year. Everybody was banged up then.
Right.
But this guy last year with the Saints threw for just over 3,800 passing yards, had 25 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. Oh, by the way, had a QBR of 97.7. Pretty good freaking numbers.
Yes. Yep.
So why are you coming down on him? Now, this year, you have a new offensive coordinator, new offense, and I think this is the year where Derek Carr is going to show everybody, and rightfully so, right? Like, you got to prove yourself to stay with the Saints. Because if he has a mediocre year or a poor year, I really do think the Saints will just move on from him. I think they will move on from him and say, okay, well, we thought this experiment was going to work, and it just didn't. So Derek Carr's got to prove to the organization and to the fans that he is the guy for the long term.
Yeah, I mean, I can agree with you to an extent. Like, I was looking at him too as well. But again, if it doesn't work out for him, if he doesn't show them that they can do something here, I think there's a bunch of different changes here. Because we had also seen
head coach will be fired.
Head coach, exactly. Dennis Allen will be gone.
I don't know how he's still there, honestly.
Alvin Kamara will be out. Yeah, he's already
sold his house.
I sold his house, yeah.
He sold his house in New Orleans. So that tells you right there that he's looking forward to free agency.
Yes.
He does not want to stay in New Orleans.
Right, right. Yep. And again, you know, Cam Jordan, you know, he's old in the tooth. He'll be on his way out probably too.
Dude, and that's the crazy thing is that this team is always in cap purgatory every year. They always are way over the cap. They at some point they gotta stay low with their financials and you're right, Cameron Jordan, like that dude's getting paid, was it something like 30 plus million or something crazy like that? But where's the production that matches that contract? I don't see it anymore. Mm-hmm. You and me, Jim, like we talked about this in the offseason about hey, maybe possible cuts. Cameron Jordan was one of those guys. We're like, we don't see the same production. Just like DeMarcus Lawrence with the Cowboys. Same thing, getting a lot of money, but where's the production from that? And we're not seeing it. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely going to be changes in New Orleans.
Right, and I mean, you talk about just pressure for himself, but it's kind of pressure for the team. Like you said, you know, it's not exactly just, you know, pressure for him to perform for what he's got to do to keep his job or you know, potentially try out for another team after this moving forward. But if they don't do well, like I said, you know, the head coach is gone, multiple players gone. You're talking about reset button. Because also in the backfield, too, you've got, you know, Honey Badger, who's super old, too. I mean, you're going to see a lot of these older guys just want to out, just move on or do something else. So,
and the other part
it all matters.
Right. The other part of this quarterback situation, too, is the fact that they drafted Spencer Rattler.
Yes.
And Jake Haener. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, Jake Haener, we don't foresee him being a starter, but Spencer Rattler is kind of like the hot, spicy topic now in New Orleans. Like, oh, well, you know, could he be the starter for us? You know, it depends on how Derek Carr plays this year because the Saints might have been thinking that all along. Like, hey, listen, we're going to take a quarterback that was going to be a top-end quarterback but then went through some troubles in college, dropped him down in the rounds for this upcoming draft. We're going to take him. We're going to work with him. We're going to develop him. And if he shows enough to us that he could be our starter and Derek Carr seems to struggle a little bit this year, then maybe we do get out of this contract and move on from Carr and insert Rattler. So they do already have an insurance policy. Spencer Rattler is going to learn under Derek Carr this year. And who knows? If it's a bad year, Rattler probably gets an opportunity the last few games just thrown in there to see what he can do. And we'll see how that all shakes out there.
Mm-hmm. All right, who else you got?
I got Kirk Cousins.
Ooh,
and the reason why I'll say Kirk Cousins, I love Kirk Cousins. I think he's a really good quarterback in this league and all that. But he is coming. He is older. He is coming back from a major injury, you know, and you're with a new team. So, like, those three situations usually it doesn't spell out success for an aging quarterback. Now you're in Atlanta. You have some nice young weapons to throw to, and I think he's going to do really good. I really do. But he's got to prove to everybody across the NFL because he hasn't done it yet. He hasn't taken a team and not only make the playoffs, but win in the playoffs. Push into the playoffs because I'll tell you right now, Atlanta Falcons, when they brought the instant they brought and signed Kirk Cousins to the squad, they were basically making a statement in the NFC saying, we're right here to compete for the playoffs. We're going to compete against everybody here. We didn't take it easy and say, well, we're not going to spend the money on a quarterback. We're going to draft one. They ended up with Michael Penix anyway. Mm-hmm. But they signed Kirk Cousins because that tells me, like, they believe that they are in win-now mode in the NFC. So now Kirk Cousins, you got yet again pressure on you coming in. You better perform at a high level and help this team get to the postseason. Because anything less than postseason, I feel like, is a failure now because of this move. So Kirk Cousins got to prove that not only can he win in the big games under the lights, you know, maybe win a round or two if you're lucky in the NFC playoffs, you got to prove to everybody that you're not just a guy who, I'll get you 10 wins, 11 wins, 12 wins, and that's about it every year and not go anywhere. So, Kirk Cousins, you got to prove it to everybody.
Right. And lately with him, though, too, it's been even stay healthy. But you got to definitely upgrade at quarterback from what you had. You know, like you said, you're trying
to upgrade. You got to freaking, like, You just bought the market.
A Cadillac, right? You know, and you had a Pinto, right? And why do you get a guy like Kirk Cousins? Because he doesn't do dumb stuff and turn the ball over when he's not supposed to. You know, things like that, which what was
Unless
happening with Desmond Ridder. So that's what we expect. And like you said, you don't go and get a Kirk Cousins unless you think you can win now.
Right.
And, you know, that's what this team, I think, really thought. They had a chance. There was even a time, you know, when they were in games that they I think, were competing for the division. If they just had that quarterback, it would have helped them get past, that echelon where they needed to go.
Yeah, not named Desmond Ridder.
Right.
Arthur, right. By the way, everyone, Arthur Smith
as your offensive
was the guy calling the plays in Atlanta with Desmond Ridder. That was his boy. Mm-hmm. And it just really, it was a disaster. So
they did,
and you're right, they did foul up a few games that could have propelled them into the playoffs. And now you look at with this Kirk Cousins signing, you look at Justin Simmons signing, a veteran safety to kind of, you know, facilitate and add to that secondary. That's a dangerous secondary now.
Yes.
So you're seeing them pick pieces, sign pieces, draft pieces to win. Because Matt Judon they traded for too. Because they haven't had a pass rusher in like eons.
Right.
So now they finally have a legit pass rusher, and you're seeing all these pieces being added to this roster. Now it's like, now you look at that team and you're like, whoa. This is a team that can compete this year. So Kirk Cousins, again, I think that he has to prove that, just to your point, Jim, he has to prove to stay healthy.
Yes.
And come back from that injury and prove to people that, listen, I'm not just the guy to be above average. I'm trying to take this team over the hump. So we'll
see. I agree.
We'll see.
All right, what else you got?
I got one more guy.
Sure.
You're going to be have fun with this one.
Okay.
Deshaun Watson. And and honestly, this is kind of one of the slam dunk ones to me because we talk about injuries. We talk about not being available. Mm-hmm. Best ability is availability. And this guy hasn't shown that either. So, and I love Deshaun Watson. I still believe that he can be the Watson that we're used to with Houston Texans in his prime. I still think he has that in him. I saw flashes of it beginning of last year when they went 5-1. That offense was kind of humming, and then he went down again with an injury. And you're like, if you're a Cleveland fan, you're slamming your head against the wall, being like, we gave this guy how much, and he's always getting injured, and he's not helping us get anywhere. So Deshaun Watson this year and this year only. Just like maybe Derek Carr, just like maybe, you know, Bryce Young, this might be your last season to prove to the Browns fans, to the organization, that you deserve to be there.
Right.
Because you cannot afford to be injured and not be able to play again. You just can't.
Yes.
Because I got a feeling that this Browns front office is going to start to have some negative feelings about this. And if you go down again, they're going to get fed up and say, you know what? I don't care what the penalty is. We got to move on from this guy. We need to go find our future, or, you know, maybe in the draft this upcoming year, or maybe even if Russell Wilson has a good year, and then maybe this could be a team in the forefront to get Russell Wilson's services next season. So Deshaun Watson, you got to prove to everybody, not only can you stay healthy, but you need to show people the reason why you have this big contract as a starting quarterback in this league.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure because I was looking at Deshaun Watson. I'm like, do I do this because of the injury and stuff? Well, I'm not sure. But then
it's not
again,
just that.
No, it's not, because if you look at his stats again, his stat line, he did only play 6 games last year and the year before. Mm-hmm. He was 3-3 2 years prior, but still 7 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. So the interception to touchdown ratio is terrible. So the games that you were able to play in. Half the time you're throwing interceptions to what you're scoring a touchdown on. So, I mean, you're just about the same. Yeah, that's not good production here. So when you're even out there, when you're healthy, you're not doing anything to help the team. Last year now, behind that great defense that they had, which they're going to have again this season, he went 5-1 despite 7 touchdowns and 4 interceptions again. And throwing at 60%. 61% year before is 58%. So again, not
is that completion percentage?
Completion percentage, yes. Not performing well. Still, this one last year, again, winning despite being terrible. So it does not just show that, you know, healthy is one thing, but when you're out there and you are healthy, you're playing terrible. So you do need to get somewhere near what you were. We're not asking for the 33 touchdowns and 7 interceptions what you had your last, you know, MVP style, you know, yes, 2020, but something better than what you're doing. We'll accept, you know, the 19-8, you know, that you were in your rookie season, something like that. Something that you're not harming your team that badly to where you can actually, what's worse is that you got that contract. So that hovers over you like a storm cloud right there that everybody just has to go to and say, what are we paying this guy for? If he's trash, he's garbage, he's not helping the team, you're relying on defense, you might as well get Sam Darnold and things like that because it's the same numbers.
Here's what I'll say. I'll say, unlike Jim, I'm going to – yes, I do expect you to return back to the Houston days because that's how good you were in your prime. You're still young. You're still capable of that. So, yeah, I do expect 30-plus touchdowns. I do expect single-digit interceptions. And I expected the 112 QBR rating. And I will say this, like the first year in Cleveland, that wasn't going to go well anyway, because he just came back, hasn't played football in 2 years. And now you're going to throw him into the starting lineup, hoping he's going to be like the guy in his prime. No. Mm-hmm. So that was a throwaway year. But last season, the 6 games he played, like, the stats don't show it, but I don't. I honestly, like, to go 5-1 with the team, and that is much attributed to the defense, 100%. Like, yes. Because when you look at the stats with throwing 7 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, you're like, dude, what the hell? But what's weird is that 84.3 QBR rating that he had was better than this first time around. So it does show you that he's getting better and getting back into the swing of things, but you'd really like to see those stats a little inflated a little bit more. And even though I know it's only 6 games that he played, but this year he's got to play all the games. And I want to see no more than 9 picks. I want to see no more than 9 picks. I want to see 25 to 30 touchdown passes. And the Browns fans deserve it. Deshaun Watson, you need to prove to everybody that you not only deserve the contract you're given, but you need to prove to the organization and everyone alike, like, hey, I'm back, and I'm here to stay.
All right, we've got Back to the Stone Age.
Ooh, Mr. Stone Age.
Mr. Stone Age is who you guys. That's right. Yo, Blitzman, for breaking the quarterback market with $230 million guaranteed and all those first-rounders, Watson needs to be a Brady plus or else he'll forever be a bum of questionable manliness. Oh, man. Oh,
I don't think so. You don't have to be Tom Brady. You just have to be Deshaun Watson, like what people remember.
Yeah.
Like, if you can do that and be one of those top-end quarterbacks like you were in the league once before, you're good. You're good. I mean, you look at contracts now. We just talked about Jordan Love getting his new deal after 1 year of production. One. And you're getting big-time money like that. So Deshaun Watson has a little bit of a track record when he was with Houston. Everybody's waiting on Watson to wake up and return to something like it. Doesn't have to be exactly like it, but you got to show something. You got to show that you're worthy of any amount of money at this point.
Yeah.
Because you could find yourself not just out of Cleveland, but if you don't have a good enough season and Cleveland moves on from you, I don't know what team's going to give you another shot now.
Yeah. I mean, put it this way. Look how – if their team wasn't winning last season, I mean, we'd probably be talking about this even more, and then the focus would be on it more, you know. Look at what happened with the Broncos. Like we said, Russell Wilson had pretty good numbers, and everybody's dogging him, and, you know, how he played like garbage, you know. So it's all perspective, especially with whatever way the team flows. And luckily for him, he had the defense to help him out here, but he can't be one of those quarterbacks that rides the coattails when we were brought in to be a game changer and take this team to a championship. And you've come very short of that. All right. So, for me, if you don't have any more, I got one more.
Go for it.
It's going to be out of the ordinary, but,
out of the ordinary.
I think, there is a narrative for it.
Okay.
All right. And I'm going to say Brock Purdy.
What?
but hear me out on this one. Because I know there's a lot of Brock Purdy haters, right? He's still technically got, what, this year and the next year on his contract. So next year he'll be looking for another contract, right? Mm-hmm. So he's got to perform this year because, again, yes, he's been able to take his team to the playoffs. The first season, he was knocked out early, you know, due to injury. But still, even that season, even though he posted up a 67 completion percentage, 13 touchdowns to 4 INTs, last year, with all the weapons that he had here staying healthy, 31 touchdowns and 11 picks looked very nice. But still, a lot of people saying that he's just a system quarterback. He's got all these weapons around him. If you give anybody Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, plus his defense that he has, you could give it to anybody and they'll look like a superstar. So I think he needs to prove to people again this season that it's not a mirage. He needs to keep it going. And then also for his big payday next season, which what's that going to be? We've seen the 49ers kind of go back and forth with all these contracts this last couple of seasons here. Dibble and dabble, it's running out to the last possible minute. How are they going to see Brock Purdy? Are they going to be one of those franchises that says, oh, Brock Purdy, yeah, we've had this success because of you. We're going to make you the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. I don't know. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But the way they've been showing things the last, this season, this offseason, even with like a Brandon Ayuk, I think they debated a little bit and see, well, I don't know about highest paid, but what about this?
No, you're going to have to expect the highest paid. You're going to have to. It's what about the market is. And that we've already seen that. Did Tua deserve the contract that he got? Honestly, for a guy that has a ton of concussions, that scares the crap out of me to give him a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And they did because that's what the market is. Jordan Love, you had 1 year of great – it was great production. Don't get me wrong, but 1 year and you're getting top-end money. So it's like whatever the market dictates, that's the new routine in the NFL. Whatever position you're playing, what is the market? All right, we got to pay him somewhere around that range. And when Brock Purdy is ready to collect, I can only imagine what this is going to look like. So Brock Purdy – pretty darn successful as a quarterback. And, yeah. And there's a lot of haters out there, but I don't understand where the hate's coming from. You know what I mean? Because the guy has tremendous stats. Him as a rookie threw 13 and had 4 picks. 107.3 QBR rating. The completion percentage to me is skewed.
Yes.
Because that stat has to do with your receivers.
Yes.
Sometimes the receivers bounce off their hands and then it turns into a pick. Sometimes they just flat out drop it. You know what I mean? So, that stat is kind of like it's in flux. It's not, as stone cold as you'd like it to be. And then this past year, which I don't understand where all the hate was coming from, guy threw for over 4,200 yards, 31 touchdowns, 11 picks, and a QBR of 113.
Yeah.
This guy was killing it. And for people to say, well, it's because you got all these weapons. It's because you got a great offensive line. Does that help? Yes, but you could say that about any really good quarterback. Look at Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes has one of the better offensive lines, minus his tackles. But and look at all the weapons he has now. Yeah, he doesn't have like a true number one wide receiver like a Jefferson or a Chase, but that's who Travis Kelce is to him.
Yep.
He's his number one in a different mold.
And then the referees are number two.
And that's right, and then they help him. But like you got Rashee Rice, who's kind of been a pleasant surprise for the Chiefs. You know, they're hoping that Xavier Worthy this year is going to be that next, deep threat for them and not drop the football. So if you're going to nitpick on Brock Purdy, who had a phenomenal year and honestly MVP year, then you better start knocking Patrick Mahomes because everybody wants to say you want to knock on Purdy. You better knock on other people too that have the same situation. He's got pretty good weapons. They don't have huge names other than Travis Kelce, but you got pretty good solid offensive line. You look at the Eagles with Jalen Hurts. You better start knocking Jalen Hurts now because why? Oh, he's got Devonta Smith. He's got AJ Brown. He's got a great old line. Where does it stop? Mm-hmm. Like, come on.
Yeah.
These quarterbacks like Purdy, he's getting it done. So he deserves the accolades. He deserves the praise. Mm-hmm. And it just, it's sad that, and I understand there's like some of those fans that like, no matter what a player does, they're going to hate him.
Yep.
But like, come on now. Yeah, guy's a good he's a really good quarterback.
Yeah, that's why I mean I figured I'd play devil's advocate in that one. Again, because he's going to be up for a contract too. So I think to silence the haters, you know, he's got to do it. Because you also look at the 49ers and where they are and how many times they've made it to the championship game and then the Super Bowl.
Kyle Shanahan.
Well. Yes. And yeah, if we weren't doing quarterbacks, we could do coaches. Maybe we'll do that, you know, next week or something. But so yeah, I mean, so there you go. There's the quarterbacks we talked about who had the most approved this season.
Right.
We left a couple off again because, again, it's all perspective. I think of how you look at it. Other guys always have something to prove.
Yeah. Did you have any more just to bring up?
I didn't have any more, okay. But I mean, obviously, if you wanted to look at a couple, you could talk about guys that have, you know, but I don't like to follow the narrative that way and kind of, you know, beat that horse to death.
I gotcha.
Like with like the Lamar Jackson, because that's what they're asking him now.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, you've made it to the playoffs and you keep losing. Yeah. Oh, you know. No. You know, and
Lamar, just keep running.
I was thinking maybe Joe Burrow again too, just because again pressure to stay healthy and get back there, because we've seen that team make it to the AFC Championship a few times, but we've also seen them lose to a lot of teams where they should have beat and just kind of have a sluggish start. So that's why I'm kind of unsure how this team's going to start off this season.
I think they'll be fine
if they have that sluggish start again. But, you know, I was going to leave him off, too.
You know what? So. It's crazy about that Bengals team is, like, look at the division they play in. So if you start off against two of those divisional opponents and you lose both, can you really say that it's a bad beginning of the season?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're all four of those teams are playoff contenders.
Yeah.
So it's going to be difficult. You know what I mean?
Now, do you think under those guidelines, do you think Tua has something to prove this year to people? Because, again, like you said, you still got those haters who think he's got the noodle arm and, you know, he doesn't fit the offense.
The noodle arm thing, listen, we can talk about Bo Nix with noodle arm.
Yeah.
We can. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the strongest arm in the NFL, but you don't need the strongest arm in the NFL. You don't need to throw 70, 60 yards. You don't.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can throw 50 to 60 and accurately, that's more than what you need. Like, you don't have to – okay, so, like, perfect example, right? Patrick Mahomes has one of the strongest arms in the NFL. When he had Tyreek Hill, they got away with a lot because he could throw it 70 yards. So when the defensive coverage said, oh, they're not going to throw it this far, they stopped following Tyreek Hill. Hill kept running, and then he caught a 70-yard bomb.
Mm-hmm.
So – but that's with a strong-arm quarterback. You don't need to do that. You just need to be able to be accurate and smart and make the right decisions. So, like Bo Nix, who's going to end up – he throws comfortably 50 to 60, comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
When he strains and tries to throw it 65 and try to get it out there, that's when it gets erratic, inaccurate, and it's a lot of times short. So – but you don't need to throw a 55-yard bomb. You know what I mean? He can hit the 50-yarder, no problem. But you're going to throw it 35, 40 yards. As long as your receiver's beating the corner, that's all you really need.
Mm-hmm.
So for everybody with the whole strong arm, weak arm, that type of thing, Tua's already proven to us with this offense that he's in with Mike McDaniels, like this offense fits Tua to a T because it utilizes the short intermediate game but with a lot of speed around him, and that offense works for him. You know, so it's like it does coincide with the offense that you're in and what kind of style quarterback you are.
Mm-hmm.
So Tua, when he first got drafted, everybody called him noodle arm and he sucks and this, that, and the other thing. And he didn't have good years because I feel like the offense didn't fit him. But now you're looking at this very creative offense and it's working out amazing. So I don't think Tua has to prove anything. He's already done that.
Mm-hmm.
He just has to prove to me that, you know, is he going to wear a guardian cap or not?
Yeah, well, that's something to talk about.
That concussion,
different things. That's for real.
I feel like guys like Tua, guys that have had multiple concussions, like Hunter Renfrow, he's another one. And maybe that could be a reason why he hasn't signed with a team. Maybe teams are concerned. You know what I mean? If he gets another concussion, then could be bad. But guys like Tua are they going to take the extra precaution and wear that Guardian cap over a really good helmet?
Yeah, especially if it it helps keep your career going again to where, you know, if that's everything. If you lose that, you're done.
I know Tua's going to look like a bobblehead with that thing on.
And they
kind
of feel that they feel like it does make your head a little top heavy and stuff like that. But
I think it's light, though. Like, they're so light still that because now they're making helmets like they can withstand a tremendous amount of impact. But they're making them feel like the material they use is like super featherly light. You know what I mean? Like, it's incredible what they're doing there. But, you know, wouldn't hurt a little extra protection for guys like that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. If guys that are you know, prone to concussions, I wouldn't be surprised if that's what they do to help the longevity of their career. Like, especially after they get paid, they're like, well, I'm going to keep this going. I'm going to wear this. You know what I mean? Why not? I don't care. And right. I think that would help in a step forward for youth to start to wear it. I was reading an article yesterday about a couple more high schoolers just lost their lives.
Oh, jeez, really?
Because of brain damage, things like that, getting hit in the head, and in practices, what you find is there's not a lot of Guardian cap use and availability to schools.
Well,
which
costs
is
money.
Crazy. It does. That's the thing. So
costs money.
I think something that everybody should look forward into trying to do, and maybe wrap up in the school taxes or whatever state somebody can get things together and help funding. But we need to. If you guys want football still and you want to protect these kids, you need to help get them the best equipment, like the Guardian caps and things like that.
How about this?
I mean,
how about this?
Protect their lives.
How about the NFL step up?
Yeah, that's
the NFL. Too. The NFL is all about safety and NFL youth and all. They have all these camps and everything. NFL, like, I'm not saying the NFL has to buy Guardian caps for every single school across the nation, but what I'm saying is maybe do a little bit every year. You know what I mean? Like, the first
promoted part of their camps or
the
something.
The first 100 schools every single year, boom, we're going to supply you with 20 Guardian caps each. You know what I mean? So, and then there's got to be, like, charities and stuff to, like, maybe kind of chip in or whatever.
Yeah.
Even have, like, a bake sale at your school or something to raise money that maybe you can buy a few. You know what I mean? To help your team out.
Yeah, because they even said it was only certain positions for the NFL that had to wear them during practice and preseason a year ago. And then this season, it's
everybody.
Like everybody.
Yeah.
And they said the difference in concussions was drastic. So, you know, the amount that there was like,
I mean,
I think it was close to 50% less or something like that. They said it was a significant amount. And if you're talking about NFL players, why aren't we doing this for our children? And I think that's something that needs to get to move forward.
I mean, and that's probably something that's going to kind of build up, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
but I agree. Like, that's the thing is it is about safety, especially for the kids. It's more. Don't want to make it say that, like, it's any less important for adults, but it is a little bit more important when you have kids involved because their bodies are still developing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You want to protect them health-wise. So, yeah, it'd be cool, like, if there's some kind of thing that maybe the NFL can do to kind of, like, raise money, even if it's a fundraiser that the NFL puts on and raise millions of dollars to every single year to – listen, they're making a lot of money.
Yeah.
They're making more money than I thought they made.
Yeah.
Honestly, like it was a few years ago.
It's a non-profit, Joe.
Yeah, right. It is a few years ago. Yeah, it's a non-profit where the head guy makes freaking millions of dollars.
Yeah,
I get it. But like for the NFL, like they used to make years ago, they used to make $10 billion, right? And you're like, jeez, $10 billion? Yeah, with a B. Now they're making $13 billion. Like, what the hell, guys?
Yeah.
You're making so much money that you could really help out, you know, other things.
Oh, yeah, a lot of different things. All right, so, Joe, the season's getting started. We're going to do our picks in just a little bit.
Yes.
But
before we get there.
What's up?
Before we get there, I just have to say this. For anybody that's tuned in for the Blitz Nation out there, if you haven't done so already, I strongly urge you to head over to YouTube at Grumblings Media. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Make sure you hit the thumbs up. Make sure you share it to all your friends and family that loves football talk, and we are the best interactive NFL talk show out there. I'm going to keep saying it until someone proves me wrong because they haven't done so yet. We are live, so make sure you comment down below whether it's a question that you might have about something we're talking about or not. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to dive into the conversation, give us your opinion. That's what it's all about. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, Jim.
All right. That's a great message. I support that message. All right. So we thought it would be fun to go over Vegas as win totals here. We'll play some over under
total wins
played out here. So what we're going to do is we're going to look again what Vegas says and has for their numbers in the wins. And we're going to kind of tell us everybody if we think it's going to be over or under that. So let's start right at the bottom, right? They've got who do they think is at the bottom here of everybody for win total?
Win total?
Worst team in the NFL, they're basically saying. What do you got for win total?
Man. I'm going to say, I don't know, Patriots?
Boom, Patriots. Nice.
Really?
Very good. Yes.
I was debating between Carolina
and
New England. And the reason why I think maybe Vegas might put them that low is because of the uncertainty at quarterback. And their offensive line? Dude. The preseason game? I know it's only preseason, but
that was brutal to
holy cow. There's no protection up front. And if that's anything of what it's going to look like, it's going to be a long season.
Yeah.
That is one big pile of shit.
Yeah. So what do they have for
all right, so the Patriots, 4.5. Over or under? I like how they throw the halves in there always. You know, is that funny?
That's just Vegas-like.
That's
you know
Vegas,
what I mean?
Baby. That's what they do. You got to have that.
So basically, it's five wins. They're saying 5 wins or less. Hmm. They still got a decent defense. I'm gonna say under.
Under?
I'm gonna say under.
Mm. Yeah, it's a tough one because again, if you're looking at five. Four is one thing, so I'm like, I don't think they get four, but five, I think.
Five is a push.
Is a push. So it's like.
Like five is just, like, here's the thing. If you get four and that's it, you guessed over, you lost.
So, I mean, that's what's tough because I almost think five might be the number, but I think I'll say under. You said over or under?
I said under.
I'm going to go with
under. And the Patriots will draft another quarterback.
Yes. Yeah. That's good. All right. Who knows? Gerard Mayo, who knows? They don't take any business over there. And by the way, did you see they're actually wearing the captaincies now, too?
Yeah, I did see that.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congrats. All right, so next up, we've got – you want to take a guess at this one? So who's next up for the win?
Next?
Total? Yeah, what do you think is next? Then I'll be done with that. What do you think?
So I was debating. I was debating with Carolina.
Oh my
I'm gonna
God!
Go, I'm going to go.
The hell cares?
What's up?
Why would you ask me a question?
I don't care. I don't. I do.
What's
care.
Going on over there?
Peter doesn't care.
Let's just go with Bo Nix in Denver.
Boom! You're 2 for 2 here. You got it right there, Denver. Excellent. Very good, Joe. I wasn't sure if we'd stump you on that.
Carolina's got to be next then.
Yes, Carolina is. Right. Boom, you're on a roll.
All right,
so there you go. So, Patriots for 4.5. Broncos are 5.5.
Broncos are five and a half. So you need, if you're going over, it's got to be six wins.
Yep.
You're going under. Huh. What do you think for the Denver Broncos?
Denver Broncos?
Yeah.
I think it's under.
Yeah.
I think it's. Borderline where the Patriots, I wouldn't be surprised even though I said under on the Patriots, maybe, I think the Patriots flip-flop and they get 5 wins.
All right. Well,
how about that?
Yeah. I mean, six wins in.
I don't think they get 6 wins.
I think they get 4.
They're
going under.
Yeah. There you go. I agree.
Because, it's the uncertainty of Bo Nix. We don't know what rookie quarterbacks, because they might have all had great preseasons, you know what I mean? And. You know, preseason games and what have you, but when it comes regular season where the defenses are going to try to confuse you, it looks, they're going to blitz more often, they're going to come after you, like, that's when the real pressure begins. So I'm curious to see how Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos can handle that, but I don't think they get 6 wins.
Right. I just looked at DraftKings prediction for the Patriots.
Yeah.
9.5.
9.5 wins? No way. Not with Brissett. Not with Brissett.
Oh,
not with
my
that
gosh.
Shitty offensive line.
Oh, isn't that good?
No way.
Yeah.
Who's smoking?
Yeah, everybody else is 4.5, 4.5, and then DraftKings 9.5.
Smoking. They are smoking something serious.
All right, so
when was this made? I wonder if this was made
recent.
Was this made after they drafted Drake May?
I don't think I know, right? I don't think so, but I think they just updated it. I looked for the
That's
most recent one.
Crazy.
All right. So next is the Panthers, and they actually are at 5.5 as well. So they're basically tied with the Broncos. Panthers.
Yeah, I'm going to say under.
I was going to say under too as well. I don't see them getting anywhere right now. So they got, I would say.
So like they're still rebuilding. You know what I mean? They're still building around Bryce Young, and they've added a couple more younger wide receivers that still got to develop. Adam Thielen, to be honest with you, like I'm surprised he made the roster because he looks a little slow last year. But yeah, with the lack of protection last season, I don't know how much better they're going to get in that, you know, in that area. And the defense, they lost Brian Burns, their best pass rusher since who knows Julius Peppers. I don't know. Mm-hmm. They don't have him anymore. So like, yeah. I don't think they win more than six.
Right, right. I agree. All right. Next up, we've got the Tennessee Titans.
What?
Yeah, the Titans. Yes.
I like the Titans this year.
I do too, but it's kind of funny, though. It's one of those teams where I like them, but that division is so tight. I see them kind of being at the bottom that they could move up, but I don't think with a bad record, though. You know what I mean? So dude. I'm going to go because it's tight. Because weren't they last year, didn't they have – 6 wins or 7 wins too?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I can look it up.
Look it up. But with this one, I think they only got better too. So, I mean,
They didn't just get better, bro. They got way better.
Yeah, so I think
new coaching staff,
which I think even I've heard some headlines of what people are reading into that it might be, you know, a rough going there. But I think – so the Titans, I like Will Levis. I like what they did.
So the Titans last year were 6-11.
6-11. I think they get better. I'm going to go with 7, so I'm taking the push, and I say 7 wins here. I'm going over.
I'm definitely going over. I think this team's going to do so much better than people think.
All right, good. All right, next up, we've got the Commanders, also with 6.5.
Okay. Interesting.
It is interesting. Now, the Commanders, I know...
Yeah, new coaching staff with Dan Quinn, new defense that is pretty aggressive. Mm-hmm. They are physical, they're aggressive. He's got a lot of new pieces on that side of the ball. Yeah. And the offense is a lot different. They've added a lot of veteran offensive linemen now, especially in the interior. Jaden Daniels, their top-notch rookie quarterback that is starting. And he looked really good. He made a lot of good decisions in preseason, and I know it is preseason.
Yes,
we'll see if he can continue that success in the regular season. But this is a team that, man, I just don't know if they can get over 6.5. You got to have 7 wins.
Yeah,
you got to have 7 then.
Yeah, and that's what they're all at 6.5 too. They're saying so. I'm gonna go with under because I think I like Jaden Daniels and how they look at it. Yes, they've got weapons, but I would like to see more. I'd like to see a first trial run and stuff like that to say that. Plus, I think this division is going to get tighter this season. I think the NFC East is going to be tighter than it has in the last couple of seasons. So that's going to mean a couple of losses amongst each other when they play each other. So I think, and plus they have some tough schedules moving forward, you know, this season. So to get 7 wins, you know, you're talking about 7-10 then, right? So 7-10. I don't know. I think they're more of a – I would say 6 is their season.
Yeah. I think that's what I think I agree with that. But, man, it's a turnaround team.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of changes that happen offensive, defensively. Last year they were 4-13 with that disaster of a roster. I love Jaden Daniels. I love me some Jaden Daniels. I'm gonna go over.
With the over. You're gonna go with the over. All right, nice.
I think Jaden Daniels is gonna rock it out.
There you go. All right. So next, there's a couple here. They've got at 6.5 wins.
Okay.
So next up is the Minnesota Vikings at 6.5 as well.
Oh, really?
Okay. The highest is from FanDuel at 7.5. But Vegas overall ranking has them at 6.5 wins. Now, knowing – that's what's funny is, like, knowing who's starting and where the team is at, I don't know. I think it's going to be a rough go. Like you said, I like what the Vikings have done, but they did lose Danielle Hunter, too, on the defensive side.
But they have Sam younger Darnold pass rusher now.
Has turned the ball over and shown that. So he's, you know, there on his lonesome to kind of run the ship. You do have Justin Jefferson to rely on, which is great. Like you said, Jordan Addison, you've got a great running game there too. So that can get you somewhere.
Yeah.
But I think this is, again, it's dangling out there. That half point is killing me. I'm going to go with six wins again. So I'm going to say the under.
I'm going over. All right. Sam Darnold for president.
Boom. There you go. All right, Sam Darnold for president. You're going with the over. All right, next up, we've got the New York Football Giants at 6.5 as well.
Don't sleep on them now.
I know. That's what I keep hearing.
That's what we keep hearing.
Which is odd, I think. And you know, I'm looking at the team again. I'm right. Like, what are they seeing that they don't see? I mean, we just signed the Dory Jackson again for some freaking reason.
Oh, he's a good depth piece. He's good. You got to have him play man, though. You can't have him play zone. You got to have him play man. So if they brought him in to play zone, then it's a bad signing.
Yep.
But anyway, like, that's the thing, is like, it's always in the back of my mind now, ever since we had that interview and Tyler Dunn was like, don't sleep on him. He goes, I'm telling you right now, from a lot of people talking around the league, don't sleep on the Giants. They're going to surprise people. And I'm like, how much is that surprise?
Yeah, what's that surprise going to be? Like,
is that surprise at like 8 wins? Like, what's happening there?
Right.
Are they a 500 team? Like, that's my thing, is I'm struggling with, because let's just say, what did the Giants have last year? What happened to this? I had it. Is it? They were 6-11.
6-11.
So they had 6 wins last year, and that was god awful.
And it was god awful.
So if 6.5 is that cut,
maybe that's what they're looking at.
I'm going above.
Okay.
I'm going above them because they have better players on this roster.
They do.
The offensive line has more vets up front. Evan Neal, I still don't know. Like, I know the Giants are going to give him yet another opportunity to lock down that right tackle spot, and hopefully he got better. But they do have someone they could put in there, like Jermaine Illuminor, move some offensive linemen around. But to have neighbors, holy, this is going to be huge for them. Because now teams, as he catches the football, they're going to have to worry about him.
Right.
And that's going to take pressure off a lot of everybody else.
Yeah.
Same thing with the running backs. We talked about Singletary and how if you're worried about neighbors now and Singletary leaks out to the flat and everyone forgets about Singletary and Dan Jones just drops it off to him, he runs for 15 yards. Yeah. Like, that's something that I can see them kind of play with. So I don't know. Here's my thing that I'm very questionable about is how is this defense going to acclimate to the new scheme?
Right.
They have some nice pieces and everything, but I'm going to say over just because last year, if they could pull off 6 wins last year,
that's true.
I mean, they're going to get over 6.5.
Yeah. If you look at it right there, 6 wins, and now you've got Malik Nabers on offense, you got Brian Burns on defense. That's a positive. You don't have Xavier McKinney anymore, which is negative, but 6.5, that's tough. But you know what? If they get better, I'm going to ride with you too in this one. We're going to ride or die. I'm going with 7 wins. I'm going with over. All right. So next up, we've got your Raiders that are at 6.5 too as well, Joe. 6.5 at the Raiders.
Gardner Minshew, definitely under.
Under.
Yeah.
There you go.
100%. Because here's the thing, is they were 8-9 last year. And that was when halfway through the year, they axed Josh McDaniels. Yes. AP took over. Antonio Pierce took over. Inserted Aiden O'Connell right away as the starter and went bananas. They started winning a lot more games than losing. And I think it was 5-3 as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, there's some potential here. If this kid can develop for the following year, it could look like a nice offense. But now that he's not deemed as the starter and they're going to rock with Gardner Minshew, I think that's a bad decision. I think it's going to be under. I think Gardner Minshew struggles.
Yeah.
He's a turnover machine.
Which is kind of funny because, again, narrative I'm hearing so much out there is the Raiders with Aaron Pierce, you know. Antonio Pierce. I keep saying Aaron Pierce.
He's a giant, too.
He's a giant, too.
Why do I keep
screwing up his name? Antonio Pierce.
Yeah.
So much that everybody's high on it. It's a new look. These guys were amped up. They're ready. And then you're looking at me at 6.5. It's low-hanging fruit out there.
No doubt about it. Their defense should be even better than last year, should be really good. But you need an offense to complement that. And I just think that Gardner Minshew is going to more often than not make mistakes because we've seen it happen in preseason, him throwing picks all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, ah, that doesn't really inspire confidence.
Right, right. Man, this is tough. I'm gonna go with under just because I'm thinking it's six. I think six is the number, maybe.
If Gardner Minshew's there, they might not win.
Well, I mean, I'm just going overall because if they do eventually make the switch, even. All right, next we've got the Saints at 7.5, Joe. So here we go. Saints are at 7.5. Everybody across the board likes 7.5. So I think this is an over for me. They did well last year. I think they had 7 last year.
9-8.
No, were they 9? All right, so they did well. So I think they could do the same thing this year and push for that division.
Yeah, they're gonna have, in my eyes, they're gonna have double digit wins. Yeah, I'm going over 100%.
All right, next they've got the Seahawks at 7.5.
Okay, the Sea Chickens.
This is tough because Seattle plays hard too a lot of times. What was their record last year?
Last week, 0-0.
It was 0-0 last week.
Yeah, 0-0 last
week.
Well,
that's good. They'll do better than that.
Last year, 9-8.
9-8. See, they're one of those teams, man. They're just quietly there, but without, you know.
This is going to be predicated on Geno Smith and how well he plays, to be honest with you, because you got everybody else there.
Though, too. I mean,
yeah, but that don't matter.
I don't know. That might matter for an extent.
A head coach?
Yeah, just, you know, it's because, I don't think they're going to run the same thing that he was. I mean, yes, he's involved with the team still, the organization, but I think it's going to be a little different.
Well, Pete Carroll didn't run anything. He was the head coach. Yeah, he's the one that makes decisions, but like, he does, you know, he's not calling plays.
I don't know. I think Seattle, this is going to be under for them. I'm going to go under.
I like it. I'm going to go under, too.
Under as well. Okay, cool.
Tom Leiter, you're welcome.
Yeah, there you go. Suck it, Tom. All right, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 7.5.
Okay, last year I think they were 9-8.
I like over. I like the over.
Last year they were 9-8. I'm going to say under.
You're going to say under?
I'm going to say under.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that too. You know what I mean? They may take a step back. You know, they've got a couple of different personnel out there. Receivers getting older.
My thing too is like Mike Evans last year was inconsistent for part of the season. Not all the season, but part of the season. It was like, almost like he forgot how to catch the ball.
Yeah.
It was like
at times, yeah. He's one of those guys. He's one of those guys that's got the strength. I get it. He'll win the jump balls, the 50-50 balls. Mm-hmm. But some of the ones that are there, right to him open, he just says club hands for some.
But it was never like that. Like just last season it happened. Yeah. Like any other season, dude's like ironclad, mitts like crazy, like doesn't drop anything.
Yep.
But last year was weird. It was fluky. Yep. So like, and then Chris Godwin, who is healthy again, but soon to be injured, like after he goes down, like what's the alternative?
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's almost like it's going to be Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield, and if one of them get hurt, it could derail this offense. So I don't know. I'm going to say under.
Yep. All right. Next we got the Arizona Cardinals, and they're at 7.5. Joe.
They went 4-13 without Kyler Murray.
Yes.
Now Kyler Murray is back yet again. Mm-hmm. Can he stay healthy for all? We talk about Deshaun Watson. This dude, he's always injured.
Yeah. Well, is he going to keep scrambling like he does? I mean, but I think he's actually best when he does stuff like that.
He's actually great at avoiding hits. Mm-hmm. He's great at it. He runs out of bounds. He slides. That's not it. He injures himself. Like just running. That's how he gets injured. It's not contact. So here's the thing with the Cardinals. We went over it when we did our review on them.
Yep.
The roster overall, I think their defense looks terrible on paper. I think their offense is lacking because they are trying to rebuild that franchise. I think they should be one of the teams that are on the bottom of this. I'm going to say way under.
I'm on my drone here.
Yeah, I
Biden,
agree.
Get out of here.
I don't know why they're there, too. I don't get the 7.5. It's weird that they're begging us to say under.
Maybe it's a surprise team, but I really want to see it. I can't see it.
Right. I'm saying under. Next, they've got the Chargers at 8.5. Joe, again, you've been saying things about the Chargers and it was going to be a running attack.
It's going to be heavy run for sure. You know, when you got Greg Roman as your offensive coordinator, formerly of the Ravens, which helped out Lamar Jackson's development tremendously, utilizing his running game and everything. Here's the thing is now he's going to the Chargers. Justin Herbert is typically not like that. He can. He is mobile enough to where he can take off and run, but he's not like a Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. He's not a Kyler Murray. He's nothing like, he's not a Josh Allen.
Yeah.
So, I'm curious to see how this offense is run. Is it going to be similar to how Baltimore runs their run heavy offense? And if so, like, Justin Herbert's going to capitalize on every throw.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's going to be, but my thing is it's going to also limit him in terms of output as a quarterback, because they're going to be running so much,
right,
that they're going to try to control the clock. Like, that's the Jim Harbaugh way. You control the clock, you run timeout, you score at the end of each drive. They're saying 8.5. Is that what they're saying?
Yep.
8.5 for a team that was 5-12 for a team that was 5-12 last year. And let's just say, let's play devil's advocate here. Former coaching staff went for on fourth downs a lot. And sometimes it was just stupid when they went for it.
Yeah.
And that could attribute it to, let's just say three wins they missed out on because of those decisions. That gets them at 8 wins. Now you're going to implement this kind of, like, what we are assuming is going to be a run-heavy offense. You're not going to look to – I think that this is one of those teams like the Ravens. The Ravens got into the same situation where if they happen to get behind in the game and then have to play catch-up, it's out of the realm of the offense that they like to run. So 8-5, I think, might be a little too rich for me, especially for Jim Harbaugh returning and not knowing what to expect. And this is a team, too, on defense that got weaker. Mm-hmm. They're not as strong as they used to be and injury-riddled like crazy. Joey Bosa got injured again.
Yeah.
It's not even the start of the season.
Yeah. I think that's what position he plays.
Yeah, injured. Left bench.
Yes.
But I'm gonna say under on this one.
Yes.
I don't think they get 9 wins.
I think he thinks IR is a position.
Indescribable recovery.
Yes.
Indescribable recovery.
And what's tough is, like, when you look at the receivers, again, nothing really to write home about. You know, unless, again, you know, Brendan Rice, you know, pops up into that spot. Joshua Palmer did
like
okay.
Him.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and Ladd McConkey's there is nice. But, again, if you're forced to throw it then, what do you do? Like, yeah, that's what you're kind of getting at. I trusted Justin Herbert.
So,
like you talked about the Baltimore Ravens and their offense. All you could do is run, because are you trusting Lamar to push it down the field with throwing it?
I mean,
you know what I mean? He could
have
open points. But, again, the way the offense was ran, I think – it's going to be run heavy, but I think I like Justin Herbert there.
I do too.
To be there, to be the guy to throw it down. It's just, who's he throwing it to? So it'd be nice if one of these receivers do kind of etch out a spot and really, you know, kind of be your Puka Nacua and come out and be that kind of star athlete right away for him.
I think the guy you have to watch out for is Ladd McConkey.
He's going to
turn into a superstar this year.
Yep.
And then you mentioned Brendan Rice. Brendan Rice, I really do think he can develop to be a really nice starter.
Mm-hmm. So 8.5 for me. I think they're dangling it again.
That's,
I'm
going to
go with 8, so I'm going to stay under.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
It's a tough division again, too. You got the Chiefs there, too. So, I mean, I think the Chargers kind of –
you
play
got the
well,
Chiefs,
and then they
you said that right. You got the Chiefs, and that's it.
Yeah. But they always play tough each other, everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, Raiders, you don't play them tough last season. All right, next we've got the Steelers here now at 8.5. What do you think about this one?
So the Steelers, this is intriguing, right? Because the Steelers are playing in that division that we were just talking about how competitive that is. And the parity in that division alone is insane. So – you got Russell Wilson in there. Deshaun Watson, we'll see if he stays healthy. Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow. All good quarterbacks, depending on what time they played. Like Watson back in Houston and what have you. But here's the thing. Is for the Steelers, now you have what you would like to assume is improved quarterback play as your starter. You have to think that George Pickens is now going to be happy as a pig in shit.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I got a legit quarterback that's going to get me the ball when I get open, and we're going to kill it. With this tough defense, I think that's the thing right here, right? Like, do I view the Steelers right now as better than the other three teams in this division fully healthy? Like, if everyone's healthy and you're comparing roster to roster and the way they play, I don't think the Steelers are. even with a better quarterback in Russell Wilson there and a veteran leader and all that, mm-hmm. They had 10 wins last year, mm-hmm. which is kind of remarkable when you think about it. But that could be attributed to their weak season last year, their schedule last year. Mm-hmm. So when you have to play against these teams, like, it's very possible they could lose and be swept by all three teams. It's possible. That's six losses there. So I'm going to say that with 8-5, do I see them getting 9 wins? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say under on that. I'm going to say they get like 8 wins.
Yeah. This one is a tough one. It's dangling out there. I could see them getting 8. They had 10 last year. I think they could do just as good. They've shown that they will win still, despite I keep calling for their downfall, that this is going to be the year they finish fourth in the division, and it never happens.
It could happen.
So I'm not going to get fooled this time. I'm going to say over.
All right.
So there you go. And watch them do it. You know, that'd be crazy. All right. So next we've got the Cleveland Browns at 8.5 as well. We've got a couple straight of teams all at 8.5 here. The Browns, 8.5. Joe, we talked about Deshaun Watson had to be one of those guys that got pressure to perform.
Yeah.
Something to prove. Mm-hmm. He's got to prove it here. This team played well last year. What was their record? Did they finish at?
11-6.
11-6. Even so, that's without him.
Yeah.
I think that defense is just as good this year too.
It's really good.
I'm gonna say go for it. I say an over.
I'm gonna say over, like hands down. Go. I think they're gonna get double digit wins just like they did last year. So, and this is the thing. But here's what it is. Last year they could fall back on Joe Flacco. This year, if Watson goes down with injury, I don't think there's a good enough quarterback to fall behind. Like, you got Jameis Winston as your backup right now.
Yeah.
Sorry. That dude is not going to win you games.
Sorry. Yeah.
So that it could derail. If Watson does happen to get injured again, this team could be only like 5 wins. So, I'm going to go over with Watson staying healthy all year. That's what we're crossing our fingers for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, next up at 8-5-2 as well, we have the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ooh. And the Colts right there, too, are 8-5.
So. All right, we'll talk about both of them then.
Talk about both of them. They're both here.
Here's the thing, is they both ended up 9-8. Mm-hmm. They both did. And Anthony Richardson did not complete his rookie year.
Right.
He got injured, missed the rest of the season. So we don't really know. Maybe they could have scraped a couple more wins out. But Gardner Minshew came to the rescue for them. And got some wins for them, but he also, you know, there were some games that they gave up too. But with Richardson, the interesting thing is he's so dynamic. He's much like a Lamar Jackson, where he's a big imposing figure, but man, is he mobile? Can he rush and make people miss? And he's so big and strong. And I shouldn't say he's like Lamar. Physically, he's not. But mobile-wise, he has that burst and in the suddenness to him. But this year, like, I'm really intrigued to see, did he get any better as a passer? Because that's the thing, is he's – Lamar's got him beat, like, crazy in terms of being a quarterback and a passer of the ball. Anthony Richardson, that was his big struggle last year. So – and he looked like he started to add some spadazz to that team before he got hurt. So I'd like to think that maybe with Richardson in there healthy all year, maybe make some gimmicky plays, if you will, I think they might be able to get a couple more wins. So I'm going to go with the Colts over.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Jaguars, I'm not really high on the Jaguars this year other than their defense. I'm not impressed by Trevor Lawrence, and I still don't think he's deserving of the contract that he got. So I still think the Jaguars are going to be a good football team. But I'm going to say that they're going to be under on this. I think they're only going to get about 8 or 7 wins.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at both these two, and I'm going to go kind of flip side. I think the Colts, I think they're both going to be over again. I'm looking the 9-8s. But I think the Jags, again, I call them to kind of step up this year, so I'm thinking they're going to get to the 10 win and be, you know, second in this division again. And make a push. I think they try and turn it around here. I like the defense, like you said. I like the weapons that they have better than they did last year. And Trevor Lawrence, I still believe in him because he was playing banged up still. And if you look at his numbers, he didn't do poorly, I don't think, last year. So I think he – I don't think he's deserving, though, of the contract that you're talking about, though, either.
But he also, I mean, that's the thing.
But I think he's definitely competent to be your starting quarterback, and he can get them places.
He's competent.
And we've seen them do it before, and Doug Peterson, I think they could do it again.
He's competent, but the problem was, is last year, like, he let them down the stretch. He had turnovers in critical game points where it led them to a loss instead of a win. Because, honestly, like, they had the division last year. They're the ones that fell back. And I understand they didn't have Travis Etienne until later in the season because he got banged up too and he missed some time. Mm-hmm. But it was just like, it's one of those things where it seems like they keep adding a different player every offseason, a veteran, like whether it be receiver, whatever. Calvin Ridley left. He went to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Now they installed Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis to me is, he's not a big time deep threat, but you got Christian Kirk, who's kind of more of that slot guy, and I just don't think they have that guy besides maybe the rookie Brian Thomas Jr. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm waiting to see how he develops. We'll see how the defense goes.
Yep. All right, next up here, we're getting a little over halfway with this list now here. Let's try and roll through this. 9.5, we've got a couple of teams right in a row, like 5 or 6 teams here. Oh, actually, there's like 8. Holy crap. All right, there's a bunch of them here. But let's start off with the Falcons, though. The Falcons are at 9.5. Again, I think they're going to do well this year, you know, better than last year.
Very well.
10 wins in this division. You got, so you, push, you got the Saints still, and you've got the Bucks. It's going to be tough. I'm going to get 9. I'm going to go under. I'm going to go at 9 wins.
I'm going over. They got Kirk Cousins. They finally got a quarterback that can give it to these young wide receivers. They have a good O-line. Their defense is much improved now, and it was already good last year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, give me 10. Give me 11. Give me 12 wins.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right, next we've got the
Rams.
The Los Angeles Rams. Rams at 9.5. I'm going to say over.
I'm going to say over. They were 10-7 mm-hmm. last year. Matt Stafford and company coming back healthy.
Yep.
This young defense that they have looks really, really good. They're going to take another big leap, and with their two new rushers on the D-line. So I like it. Let's go.
All right, Cowboys here at 9-5, 9.5 too as well. I say they get 10 wins, so I'm going to go over.
This is here's my thing. If they get this Dak thing figured out, like I wonder how much that's going to play into the season. Where if Dak, like Dak said, it's not going to bother him. He's going to play no matter what. They're still going to work on it and all this. If he can keep a clear head, then this offense is going to be just fine. They got CeeDee Lamb back in there, and my one downfall: your running backs.
Yeah,
Ezekiel Elliott is your starter. Like I'm sorry, guy's aging. The guy can barely move. The line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
So. I think that's going to come into more of a play this season for them, not being able to get those critical rushing yards.
Right.
It might make them one-dimensional where teams only can concentrate on the pass. Even though they had, what was it, 11-6 is what their record was last year, they don't have Deron Bland.
Nope.
So, you know what? Screw it. Cowboys fans, hate me if you want. You're going
under. Oh, man. Oh, boy.
Eight wins.
Yikes. All right, next we've got the Miami Dolphins at 9.5 as well. I'm going to say over. Right there.
I like it. 9.5. Boom. I think I'm going to go over with Miami, too. I think they get double-digit wins. They're going to be competing for this division. Mm-hmm. This is another division that's going to be so tight at the end of the season where who knows who's going to come out on top. Could be the Jets. Could be the Dolphins. Could be the Bills. It's not going to be the Patriots.
There you go. Next up, we've got the Texans at 9.5 too. Vegas
over
9.5. I'm saying over as well.
Saying over, baby.
Boom.
They're all going over to the moon and back.
Yep. All right. So all these, I think they're up there. These are your top contenders here. Packers 9.5. I'm going to say over as well. I'm saying over as well.
9.5. That's all they're giving them.
Yeah.
Really?
9.5. That's what I mean. These ones are kind of easy pickings, I think, for me to hear.
I mean, they went 9-8 last year.
Yeah.
So I get where they're coming from, but this is a team that is not just young, but now they've already have a full season under their belt all together.
Yeah.
And I look for them to
Josh Jacobs, too. Like, I mean, I don't know. I don't think they got worse.
I think it gets better, right? Yeah.
Xavier McKinney now at safety, too. I mean, like, come on, bro.
Yeah, I'm going over. I'm going over.
Yes.
Packers.
Yes. All right. Next, they've got the Bears. Now, I don't
Bears or Bills?
9.5. The Bills. Yeah, I'm sorry. The Bills, then the Bears. I'm jumping ahead of gun. So the Bills, 9.5. I say, yeah. I say they're in this. They're contending for the division again, because who else are they contending against? You know, they've got the Jets and the Dolphins. Jets and but, Dolphins. You know, it's not the Patriots. So 9.5, I give them that. I give them 10 wins and plus. Yeah. What do you think?
Do you think
Stephon Diggs is going to make that much of a difference, him not being there? Or what do you think it is? You think it's defense?
It's
too,
definitely going to make a difference. Okay. Like, it's going to make a difference offensively, because you no longer have that elite talent at wide receiver. You got a guy who's up and coming in Khalil Shakir. You got a rookie in Keon Coleman, but Keon Coleman is not the same receiver like that. Like, he has to build up speed. It's not sudden. So I'm not really sure how well he's going to do in terms of separation. Is that going to make Josh Allen second guess throwing the football to a guy like Keon? Where I feel like Khalil Shakir, I feel like, is going to get a lot of catches. I think he's going to be like the underrated kind of weapon that Josh is going to rely on, along with guys like Dalton Kincaid and what have you. But, yeah. Man, I tell you right now, that there's that part of it. And then on the defensive side, they are weaker on defense. Matt Milano is not going to be available. Yeah. Their captain.
Yep. Yep.
They are going to struggle at times. I didn't notice much of a pass rush, and I understand it's preseason, whatever, but their DNs that they have, I got concerns about. Mm-hmm. I don't think mm-hmm. they're that good. Mm-hmm. So, and they've lost D tackles over the last couple of years to free agency. I don't know, man. They have Ed Oliver still, but he can't do it all by himself. Mm-hmm. So, with that being said, I'm going to say they have 9 wins. I think under.
Under. All right. Next, we've got the Chicago Bears now at 9.5.
The Bears.
I'm going to say under. Again,
rookie quarterback.
Yeah, and again, looking back at this team again, they haven't had 9 wins since 2018. So I don't think Caleb Williams and some of the additions that they made, I guess, are good. Yes, I get that, but I don't think it's going to be that quick of a turnaround. I really think they're going to win 2 more games. It's going to be 9 wins. It's not going to be 10 and over.
Okay.
So yeah, because that's their ceiling, I'm thinking, even too.
So they definitely improved that whole roster. Mm-hmm. Like, it's probably the best situation a rookie quarterback could go into.
Right.
I mean, your offensive line's pretty much solid. Mm-hmm. Your weapons are amazing. Mm-hmm. And then you also have DeAndre Swift as a running back. So they were 7-10 last year. Although I think the best quarterback they have is not the one starting. I think Tyson Bagent is better than Mr. Williams there. Right now, Williams can be.
What?
Williams can be, but it's going to take some time. I don't think we see him scramble, right? Preseason was like a thing where, like, he's like, oh, he's doing the same thing he did in USC. Yeah, sure. But wait until these defenses now are going to be locked in on him. What are his tendencies? Is he going to always look to the number one, his first read? You know what I mean? Like he did in college. So I think it's going to be under. I think that it might even be 6 or 7 wins. I just don't see a rookie quarterback coming in. And even though he's got great weapons and all that, I just don't know, man. I think he was a risky pick when he was taken, and we'll see what happens, I guess.
Yeah. All right, next we've got the Lions at 10.5 now. So they're bringing into that
now
next
we're getting tough.
Line. Here we go.
Now we're getting
Lions,
tough.
10.5, so 11 wins in that division. You got the Packers there.
Yep.
Bears. I said they are not going to get. They're going to get maybe 9 wins.
Got the Vikings.
Vikings. I don't think are going to be as good there. I think I had the under. So I'm going to go Lions. Yeah, 11 wins at least. Yeah,
they're going to match last year. They're going to match last year. They're going 12-5. They're going
there you
over.
Go. I like it. Matching the next last year. Perfect. All right, next we've got the Ravens at 10.5 as well.
Tough one.
Yeah.
Very tough one. They went 13-4 last year.
13-4 last year?
And their defense got better.
Yeah, I think they run it back again. I mean, they're a tough team to beat. They're They're one of those teams, though, they're like physical. You know, like I said, the pressure isn't on Lamar Jackson, you know, to prove anything, but they really need to get to the playoffs and kind of beat their nemesis of the Chiefs and things like that and kind of get there.
They have the team to
do it.
Yeah, they definitely do, and they should have won last year.
Yeah,
there's
so many
Lamar Jackson, run, Lamar, run! Like, that's what he needs to do.
Yeah, Yeah, exactly.
Don't worry about the critics and say, oh, you're just a runner. Who cares? Just win. Anyway, yeah, I got the Ravens going over. Easy. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You're going to hear that from the stands.
There you go. I like it too. Yeah, as long as he runs. All right, next we've got the Bengals at 11.
The Bungles.
I'm going to go under on this one.
Oh, you're going
I'm
under?
I'm going
huh?
under. I'm going okay. 11. I'm saying 10 wins.
Well, they were 9-8 without Joe Burrow.
Yes.
With Joe Burrow, they're definitely going to have double-digit wins. I'm going over.
I'm going under. All right, here we go. Next, we've got the Eagles. Eagles, I said this is going to be a tougher division. I don't think the Eagles this year are going to still fly away with this one, even though they did get a lot of good weapons, though, still, and added more talent to this team. Man, do they have 14? Maybe they do. This is going to be tough. Because I think, again, they're going to be better than the Cowboys. So I guess I will. All right, I'll go with the over. See, it's at 10.5. I'll give them that extra half.
Right, 100% I'm going over. They got a lot of vets that returned
right
back to the team that were amazing with the Eagles, and they just built that up even more. What I don't know how they've won the draft like they always mm-hmm. – they do it every year.
Yeah.
I just don't get – do teams just say, hey, listen, we're going to let you win the draft every season, so we'll just let whatever player you want slide right to you. But somehow the Eagles get their guy. So they got some young, youthful defensive backs that I can't wait to see what they can do this year. And overall, like, that team should be 11, 12 wins all day long.
Yep. All right, so this is a funny team here now.
Oh,
in the top three, the New York Jets at 10.5 here, Joe. Vegas odds, we're looking at the total wins. They have them at 10.5. Are they dangling this out here for those Jets fans? The lowest one is by DraftKings and FanDuel, who say 9.5.
Yeah.
So
either way,
saying 10 plus.
Vegas points. Is talking
they're,
and basically telling you guys that the Jets are going to be really good.
Yeah.
Now we have to wait and see.
Yeah, we have to wait and see. They still have to play the games, and Aaron Rodgers needs to make it past four plays.
We already know that the defense is going to be studs.
Yes.
They're all studs. Yeah. They're dogs. Yeah. Like, that defense is going to be top five easy.
Yes.
What we don't know is how good is this offense going to be with Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to bet on Rodgers staying healthy, and I'm going to take the over on this.
Yeah.
I think the Jets are going to – the Jets, I really do believe, could push for this division.
I think the Jets can too. In my best quarterbacks for this upcoming season, I think I had Aaron Rodgers here at number one, so I'm really pushing for him to do something here and come back to that and do it with this younger team. With this great defense. Because, again, we've seen these different quarterbacks who kind of, like we said, rely on that defense. If you're able to be that guy you were, I think this is the perfect situation for Aaron Rodgers. Great defense. Keep it a low-scoring game for you. Possibly get the turnovers. And then you got Brees Hall that can run the ball. You know what I mean? And just air it out to these young receivers. I like it. I like it all day. It's a perfect situation.
Oh, it's going to be amazing.
So I'm going to go with the over, too. I'm liking it. I'm feeling it.
All right.
All right, last two, we've got the Chiefs and the 49ers both at 11.5. They're the cream of the crop. They rise to the top. I never eat the pig because the pig is the cop.
Well,
I can keep going, but, I mean, that's such a great song, Jump Around by House of Pain. We got the 49ers, the Chiefs,
so
11.5.
Dude, all right.
It could be bad for the 49ers, though, because I feel like some of those guys' injuries could be really set this team off in a bad situation.
Well, you could say that about the Chiefs,
too. I know. I get it.
But what I'll say is, like, as far as the Chiefs go, they did only have 11 wins last year.
Mm-hmm.
They are you know as well as I do, this whole league is getting better. Mm-hmm. The teams that are below them, that have been below them for years in terms of the division, they're all starting to get a little bit better. They're starting – like, I would say the Raiders probably have the next best defense in this division. And then you have, like – I could debate Broncos have a better defense than the Chargers do, even though they got a lot more names. But offensively, you know, that's where the scales tip. That's where the Chiefs kind of are favored in that. But finishing 11-6 – and what they've been able to accomplish with after Tyreek Hill leaving and still finding a way to work the offense a certain way to fit the personnel they had. They didn't try to force anything to happen. They just said, okay, we're going to alter the offense a little bit because it'll fit better. And they've done a miraculous job. Andy Reid is, to me, I don't know how anybody can criticize Andy Reid. The guy, to me, is one of the best, not only head coaches, but one of the best offensive minds I have ever seen. So, with that all being said, I have to say that I don't think this is the year for the Chiefs.
Okay.
I think that defensively, without Legarius Sneed, who I think was the key cog in that secondary, I really do think that the Chiefs are going to lose a couple more games than people anticipate. And I think that they're going to be under 11.5.
All right. It's going to be tough. I'm going to say they're going to be at 11 again. So, yeah, I'm saying under. 49ers, I'm going to go with over.
Yeah, Niners, I'm going to definitely go over because it's hard not to.
Yeah.
The team that they have and the fact that everybody is back, everybody's happy now. We got the contracts done. Yeah, they're definitely going to be over. They'll definitely be right back in the dance.
All right, Joe. So there you go.
That's
the Vegas odds.
Good job.
I thought that was fun to go through that. It got us
everybody, thanks for
going.
Playing.
Yeah, there you go.
And I got another game for you guys. It's really easy. You just head over to YouTube. There's this place called Grumblings Media. And then you just hit a button. It's called a subscribe button. Oh, yeah. There's also like a like button there. You make sure you hit that. Make sure you share it to everybody you know. And then don't forget to comment down below because we are live, guys. This is the best damn NFL talk interactive show you can get.
I'm having when I'm playing.
So make sure you drop the comments down below. We do react to everything during the show. And make sure you all tune in next week when we come back.
All right, here we go.
Cousins
likes it. All right, here we go. So we're going to go through our picks, Joe. Here we go. It's week one. Picks are coming. We got a game Thursday night, September 5th. Kansas City Chiefs at home against the Baltimore Ravens. Who you got in this one?
I got the Ravens. I think the Ravens are going to upset the Chiefs. Like Detroit last year, they had the Chiefs, man. They just had them.
Yep.
And they almost pulled off a surprise win. I think the Ravens actually get it done. Ravens are definitely a more physical team, and the Chiefs struggle with physical teams.
Yeah.
So I really do like the Ravens this year. I think they're going to win a lot of games. So I think that they started off here.
I agree. I think they're struggling at wide receiver right now too. So I don't think that's going to be an issue. I think that's going to be an issue for the Chiefs. And again, like you said, you saw what happened with the Detroit. They're vulnerable. It's the first game of the season. I don't think they're going to be amped up to get and go for it. I think
they're not ready.
They're not ready. So even though it is in the kingdom. We're going to go next now to Friday. We have a Friday night game.
Friday night football.
Well, that's going to be, a Friday night, but it's going to be played in Brazil. To where we've heard different stories about this whole Brazil thing. Because we know NFL has been trying to spread it out international wide, with these games. And certain teams are allowed to promote in different countries. We've heard that it's very unsafe to be around the city and outside, in Brazil.
Yeah.
Darius Slay just came out and said things, too, about he's not having
he really doesn't
want to
go.
Doesn't want to be there. NFL told him not to go out. I've heard people from Brazil say, hey, it's overblown. It's fine.
No.
It's between the two rival soccer league teams that, have similar colors to another gang or something like that. So it's overblown. I know I would still listen to it, though, just to be safe. Like, you can only be safe inside, so why just stay inside?
What do you need? Why would you go out on the town knowing that you could be risking, one, maybe your life, or two, like risking something to happen to you?
Right.
And
it's funny that Slay says this about the league and say, hey, why would you put our players in danger like this to do this? Like, well, the NFL wants to keep spreading the word.
Oh, they don't care.
Their reach. They don't care.
They don't care.
They're like, they want to be everywhere. So what does that matter to you? They just said, hey, stay inside. Be safe. You know what I mean? So this should be interesting. I'm interested to see how the arena is going to be there, the stadium, how rocking that might be.
It's going to be nuts. It really is going to be insane. And I'm curious, is it going to be more Packer fans?
I think it's going to be, you're going to see a lot of green and gold. I think so.
Okay.
I think you see the green and
yellow.
Because the
Eagles got popular quick, too. So
I hear you.
I wonder if because I know some teams do this, they only offer private tickets, to people that follow the team or whatever locally, whatever, they get first dibs. And then they sell to the visiting team or whatever. So Packers or whatever get a certain amount of tickets, whatever to sell. So, it'll be interesting to see the ratio of like Packers to Eagles fans in this one in Brazil. It'll be cool.
Yeah, it's gonna be a tough one, and just because, again, even though it's a Phillies, the home team, they're not in Philly, they're in Brazil. I'm gonna go with the Green Bay Packers in this one.
All right, I'm gonna go with the Philadelphia Eagles because fly Eagles fly.
Yeah. By the way, if people don't know, we do have another football show, Football on the Know. And I do terrible week one always, too, whenever we do our picks. So we'll see how this goes. This
it's all right.
One
doesn't first. Matter.
See if we can turn a new leaf.
Doesn't matter. You come back and win in the end
that's
anyway.
That's right. We'll see. All right. So now Sunday, which is my birthday. You guys, if you didn't
oh, you got to get
earlier,
this right.
It's my birthday. So
all of these you're supposed to get right.
There's a lot of games here. So it's going to be very exciting. I get to see my team play with their old school jerseys, which kind of are a mixed hodgepodge looking thing, you know, but I'm a Michigan fan though too, so I get to see the winged helmet in blue and red, so that'll be interesting to see. Yeah. And I'm excited for this upcoming season, but
you should
a lot
be.
Of games right here, so let's go through. Sunday, September 8th, my birthday, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons at home. Ooh, I think I like that. Atlanta plays tough at home. I'm going to go with Atlanta at home against Pittsburgh, even though the Pittsburgh defense I think is better. I like Kirk Cousins. Let's do it. Let's go.
I like the Falcons and their defense better.
There you go. So you're going Falcons?
Yeah. 100%.
All right. Arizona Cardinals and the Buffalo Bills. Circle the wagons. I like the Buffalo Bills here at home against the Arizona putrid Cardinals.
Putrid Cardinals.
Which I don't get how they're saying 9.5. They said.
Dude, there's no way. Bills open up in a big way in this one. They trounce the Cardinals.
There we go. The Tennessee Titans and the Chicago Bears. Chicago at home. I really like the Titans, what they're doing. Chicago, I don't know.
Chicago.
Do go they bang, get the bang. Win at home, though? That's tough. Man. You know what? I'll give the benefit at home. They do play tougher at home. I'll give it to Chicago, but I would like to see Tennessee win.
I'm going
to
have a surprise win here. The Titans end up starting off their season with a win over Caleb Williams.
I would like it. All right, here we go. The New England Patriots and the Cincinnati Bengals. This is a trap game. I'm telling you, this is because the way the Bengals start off, man, I'm telling you, this is weird. Jacoby Brissett is going to be the starter anyways. You know he's injured, and his own team did that to him by not blocking at all whatsoever.
To be fair, Brissett's been playing like all
preseason. He's been playing like shitty. So this is going to lead way, though, to possibly Drake May coming in sooner than we think. Cincinnati Bengals, I like it at home. Are they going to do the whiteouts? If they do, I think they really play well. But I'm liking the Cincinnati Bengals at home. But like I said, they get off to those lethargic starts. It kind of scares me.
Usually they do the whiteouts like for Thursday night games or something like, or a special occasion, special like maybe occasion. Monday night or something like that. But the Bengals at home, this is where they started off. They're going to get the win.
All right, here we go. The Houston Texans and the Indianapolis Colts. Ooh, interdivision game. It's going to be – everybody's going to like to see this because, again, like you said, Richardson together now with Stroud on the other side. This is the quarterback battle. They're going to duke it out here. You've got two great running backs, too. You have multiple running backs here that can play well here on either side of the ball. It's going to be exciting. Indy, I like at home, but I'm going to go with the Houston Texans on this one.
You have to go with the Texans on this one. That's the logical pick here. Like, come on. When you look at this offense that they've put together now with Diggs, Collins,
scary,
Tank
right?
Dell, Dalton Schultz, a tight end. Oh, by the way, their backfield, you know, Joe Mixon.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
Damian Pierce. And C.J. Stroud is head and tails way better than Anthony Richardson will probably ever be. But we'd like to hope that maybe he could develop to be at least a good starter. Texans defense and all, it's hands down. They have to win this game. I'll tell you this right now. If the Colts end up upsetting the Texans, it's going to stir the pot in the NFL.
It will. It absolutely will. Next, we've got the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Miami Dolphins. I like the Dolphins here to take it at home.
Yeah, the Jaguars start off in grand fashion and get an 0-1 start. I'm going with the Dolphins here as well. Tua and company. That offense is just going to be insane. Mm-hmm.
Scary. All right, the Carolina Panthers and the New Orleans Saints. Panthers, again, got a lot of fixing to do. You got a lot of explaining to do, Lucy. They ain't going to get it done here against the New Orleans Saints, Derek Carr and company. I like the Saints.
Yeah, you really have. This Saints defense is really good, especially when you got Marshawn Lattimore returning. Like, that guy missed significant playing time last year. He's coming back. They got some younger pieces involved in this. Curtis Granderson, one of the most underrated pass rushers in this game. And then their offense, I feel like, is going to take a huge step forward. Saints are going to pour it on to Carolina. Saints win.
All right, the Minnesota Vikings and the New York Football Giants. Now, this is spicy.
This is a good one.
Because, again, Sam Darnold, what is he going to do here? Luckily, again, he just keeps handing the ball off, but then getting it to Justin Jefferson, his number one target. Yeah. Malik Nabers on the opposite side, though, too. I'm hoping Danny Dimes can shine here. Brian Daboll's offense, him at the helm.
Right.
I hate to do this because if you guys ever watched our other show, you know that I bet against my team so that I can win. And that's so the way it would go. So that's what happens. Every time I bet against them, they won. So I would go with it. Yeah. But I think out of all the games this season, at least looking at this one, I'm very confident that this is a game that the Giants really can win. So I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go all in. Here I go. It's week one, Joe. I don't give a shit. Here we go. It's week one. We can just start over next week.
That's right.
I'm going with the Giants at home.
I'm not hating on it.
The Minnesota Vikings.
Why not, right? Just go for it. And I'm going to stick by what I said. I'm going with Sam Darnold and the Vikings. They're going to get their first win here.
There we go. All right. We got the Vegas Raiders and the Los Angeles Chargers. Chargers at home, Joe. But
are they home?
Are they home? Doesn't really matter.
No, they're not.
I know. Your Raiders fans are thirsty here on this one.
They'll be there.
Smelling blood. But last year, your defense was like 21st against the run. You know they're going to run heavy this year with the Chargers. What do you think?
This is what I think. They swept them last year, but they're not going to sweep them this year. I really don't have any confidence in Gardner Minshew. I do have confidence in our defense, but I got to say, like, I think he's going to end up throwing a couple picks in this game, and that's going to kind of be the deciding factor. I think the Chargers are going to capitalize on it. They're going to run the clock out, probably win by two scores. Maybe it's like 24-14. Will probably be somewhere, because it's usually always low scoring. It's not that high whenever the rivals face here. But I think the Chargers edge him out just because Gardner is going to make those mistakes.
Yeah, I like the Chargers here at home. Jim Harbaugh to get his first win, and it's going to look pretty good here for them. The Vegas Raiders, I'm intrigued to see what happens with Davante Adams throughout the season. If you do start doing this juggling here with the quarterbacks, how frustrated he gets.
There's no juggling. It's either you're going to bench Gardner and then start Aiden for the rest of the year, or you're just going to stick with Gardner.
Which is something that they probably should have done already. So
yeah, we agree with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why restart?
Bad decision.
Put him back in.
Just a bad decision.
That makes no sense. All right. Next, we got the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle at home. We always say is tough.
12th man.
Always. And I'm not high on the Broncos at all. I'm not high on Bo Nix at all. So I'm going to go with the Seattle Seahawks at home, the 12th man.
Yeah, I mean, the defense for Seattle is just so – it's so – on the roster, like on paper, it looks so impressive. And if they can capitalize on some of the plays like they did last year, Geno Smith, it's up to you in this game. Like, you have to win this game. You're going up against Bo Nix and a Broncos team that really isn't that good. They're still trying to figure out their way. So I'm going Seattle all the way.
All right. I got a lot of home games here, home wins.
I like it. Keep it home, baby.
We got the Dallas Cowboys and the Cleveland Browns.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Browns are at home. This is a tough one.
That's a tough one.
It is. So I'm interested to see. I would like to see the Deshaun Watson of old, because I would like to see these guys run that offense really well.
Dude, could we see an epic performance by both Dak and Deshaun in this game?
Yeah.
Could this be a shootout?
That's what I want to see.
But I don't see it being
Amari
a shootout.
Cooper against his old team too.
Yeah, you got all these storylines right for this one. But my thing is the Browns defense trumps the Cowboys defense. Mm-hmm. Like, that's going to be the thing. Is like, can Ezekiel Elliott carve out any yards? Does the Cowboys become one dimensional because they can't run the ball? And then does that lead to a turnover or what? So yeah, dude, I don't know, man. I'm going to go with Cleveland on this one because I'm really feeling that Browns defense.
Right. I think I'm going to go with Cleveland, too, as well, because I think they can still even get it done on the ground game, too, despite not having Nick Chubb even.
Dude, so they got Jerome Ford.
Yeah, exactly.
Jerome Ford had a great year last year when he was given the opportunity. So I look for him to continue that success.
All right. We've got the Washington Commanders and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers here. Bucks at home.
Ooh, this is a good one, too.
I think this is going to be a very close game. But I think for me, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to edge it. I'm going to go with the home team again.
Ah, man. I'm going with my boy, Jaden Daniels.
He's going to go with
it. He's going to get his first rookie win here against Tampa. Baker Mayfield's going to be pissed, throw his helmet, hit his own head coach.
Perhaps.
It's going to be amazing.
Todd Bowles had that same weird look, you know, with the angry face.
Not know what's going on.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, and the Los Angeles Rams and the Detroit Lions. This is a very exciting game. Sunday night, 8:20 under the big lights.
Yep. Yep.
Look at the Lions get these primetime games.
Well,
now,
that's what happens when you win.
Right?
Isn't that's what happens great? When you win. When you start winning games, you get primetime spots.
And they saw what this was like in the playoffs, too, and what kind of emotion that generated, too.
Yeah.
The Lions and the Rams. Jared Goff, you know, you're not good enough.
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford, there you go. And here you go. It's a repeat again.
Dude.
Detroit at home, the place can be rocking. I'm excited. I like the Rams, but I'm going with Detroit on this one, man. I'm feeling it.
Tough, man. Ah, man.
And I heard they're going to do their Motor City jerseys, too. The black with the weird blue there.
Oh, that's terrible. Blue.
I think they're going to do the crazy jerseys that night.
Stop doing stupid shit. Anyway.
What do you got?
I think
Rams, Lions.
I don't want to pick against either one of them.
I tell you, I've picked every home game.
I like them both, but man, this is a tough one because I like the Lions' defense. I like what they added their corner that they've been missing for quite some time. Hopefully, he pans out right. But did they do enough on that defense, though? Man, and then the Rams to have Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua back again.
Mm-hmm.
Screw it. I'm going to go with home team. I'll go with Detroit.
Yeah, there you go. It's week one. Just live a little, right?
Right.
All right, here
we
go.
Look at the next one.
The next one.
The last one of the week.
This is going to be the test then.
Monday night football.
For me, yes. Ooh. This will be the litmus test for the Jets. How good are you, right? Because you got to go against the National Football League's, the NFC champion last year. This is who you got to beat. Monday Night Football, the first game of the season. Oh, Aaron Rodgers under the lights. How good are you guys?
That's amazing.
Is it going to be competitive?
Dude, yes, it is.
Is it going to? Are they going to be able to win in San Francisco? With San Francisco's record at home was outrageous last season.
Will Dre Greenlaw injure himself again during a celebration?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I know. That was brutal watching that game. Don't even get me started again.
I can't believe that happened, honestly.
You knew that was the downturn, too, of everything starting to fall apart, too.
Dude.
Are you serious, bro? This is what happens.
All of the emotion got sucked out of that team after that.
Yeah. But here we go. The Jets, 49ers. Like I said, it's tough to bet against the 49ers at home. This is the litmus test. So
right.
I'm going to go with the 49ers because, again, they're favorites at home. You got to be there. But I'm excited to see what the Jets can do. And if they pull out a win, then I think they're for real.
Bro. I mean, you can't base it off of one game.
No, I hear you. But, I mean, again, if you're going to beat, the remaining, NFC champion of last year, that's something to
I mean, it's not hard because Kyle Shanahan will just keep throwing the ball, and then it'll be a pick six by Sauce Gardner at the end of the game.
Well, yeah, maybe Robert Saleh knows the deal, though. He knows Kyle Shanahan.
You know what I mean? I think this game is going to be closer than people anticipate.
I hope so.
Because of Rodgers. Because he's that damn good of a quarterback, he's going to keep this team in the hunt. So even though I think it's going to be semi-close, I still think the Niners pull out the win. They're too good not to. And this is good. And this will be a good precursor to AFC versus NFC.
Mm-hmm.
Which side wins this one? Will AFC come out on top on this one in a surprise? Or will the NFC say, hey, no, not so fast. We're still legit.
Yeah, that's right. All right, there you go. There's the picks for this first week. NFL season has come upon us now, Joe. We're super excited.
Oh, so awesome.
Once again, thank you so much, everybody, for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Sure you guys like and share the video. Joe, tell them one more time in case they didn't hear it or if you're just joining us for some reason right now and you're a wicked late. You just like to show up to the party late.
That's right.
Tell them again how they can find us and other great programs just like ours here at Grimlin's
Media.
First
of all, I just have to say you're way too late. Because we're about to just sign off.
Closing,
but thanks for showing up. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube for us on Grumblings Media. Also, you can check out our great website that we have, grumblingsmedia.com. You can check out all the political, entertainment, and sports podcasts that we have available. Also, head over to rumble.com. And anywhere you get your podcasts, that's right, Apple, Google, Spotify, and Pandora, it's all there. But if you, since you missed and you're just tuning in now, head over till next week. You're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait for our faces to show up again. But next Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern time,
good idea. Be here. Tell them the time to be here. All right, thank you so much, and we'll see you guys next week.